Thank you. Channel open for executive order AUC-3423.
Listen to this, boys.
Night shift.
Fascinating.
Night shift.
Fascinating.
Night shift.
Fascinating.
It only happens once a week.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Fascinating.
Night shift. It's my favorite show.
Fascinating.
Night shift.
It only happens here.
Night shift.
Fascinating.
This is going to be just a little bit unpleasant.
Just thinking.
Don't move. Stay very still now. Don't talk.
How long does this take?
Not long.
Night shift for professional use only.
It only happens here.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Mondays. Midnight.
Night shift.
Night shift.
You can feel it.
I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it.
Now, where are my people?
Night shift.
The name of the show.
Night shift.
The feeling you're going to have.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Midnight.
You will be absorbed.
Night shift.
It's not like anything else.
Night Shift. A completely unique experience.
The one and only Night Shift.
Thank you. The name of the show?
Night Shift.
Byron, we got so much show for you.
It's the Byron birthday show.
Byron birthday.
There you go.
Post
That's
birthday.
Right.
Post
I am
birthday.
So happy to be back from assignment.
Are you happy to be here, Byron?
Oh, I'm always happy to be with you, Mike Sargent.
Are you grooving?
Byron? I'm grooving. This is some DGM.
Yeah, well, this is DGM. Yes, it is, Byron.
I know DGM when I hear it.
Yes, it is.
And you know what else I like about tonight's show?
What do you like? So far.
So far.
So far.
Yes.
We've just begun.
The studio.
You like the studio?
I like the studio because it's filled
with
feminine pulchritude. Pretty in pink. It is springtime, and you know what happens in the springtime.
Byron gets frisky.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I was trying to follow you.
To flowers and passion.
Flowers and passion.
That's right. Candy, love.
Candy, love.
What about grapes?
And grapes, too.
Candy,
you gotta
love.
Have some grapes and wine.
Byron, you got candy love all year round, though.
Well, that's true.
You know, you are a candy-loving man.
That's true.
Is he a lover, not a fighter?
No, he is. He's by, his nickname is Sugar Bear. Byron Sugar Bear Saunders.
Mm-hmm. And 29 years young tonight.
Hello. There you go.
Props to Byron.
All right.
Oh, Byron, I thought you were 32.
But hey.
That was a couple years ago.
Oh, I see. You've been going back.
I'm Benjamin Bragg.
Well, this is Night Shift. I'm Mike Sargent.
I'm
here with Byron Sugar Bear Saunders and Valley Dawn.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be an
It's glowing
show.
In here. Valley.
It's the birthday match.
Glowing in here.
It's glowing. Now, Byron, I do want to tell you what the theme is.
All right. You know, I know.
And,
I love
and
the
I
theme.
Think this will be an ongoing theme because it's part of the Life is Like Science Fiction. Life is Like Science Fiction. I'm going to take you through a journey. A journey where we're going to explore. This is what they call cultural analysis.
Well, you know I'm
cultural analysis.
But Byron,
we're analyze the culture.
We didn't know what the theme of the night was, so we didn't wear our outfits.
Well, it's okay.
No, don't worry. Cultural analysis. You can wear anything.
There you go.
You can wear anything.
We'll adapt.
So now here's the deal, Byron.
Deal me in.
Are you being dealt?
Yes.
Are you being dealt in, Byron? Okay. Here's the deal. Okay, Byron.
Yes. Byron.
This is the kind of world we've made.
Oh,
time to get serious.
That's the theme. This is the kind of world we've made.
This is the kind of world we've made.
And I wanted to get the Charlton Heston soundbite, but I couldn't get it in time. But,
Byron can act it out. Tell him what it is.
Well, Byron,
of course.
Byron, you can do anything, can't you, Byron?
I can indeed. Oh, my goodness. This is the kind of world we have made.
Yes, it is, Byron. All right, first of all, I have to say, all right, I had an audio thing I was going to start with, but
yes.
I can start without the audio.
Okay.
And bring us in. But I do want to ask you, Byron, what did you do for your birthday?
First and foremost.
And your birthday was what, on?
March 26th.
March 26th.
Wednesday.
Our philosophy is we celebrate the whole for 30 days. We have to celebrate
least,
30 days.
At least. So,
we're in your birthday week right
midnight
now.
On my
26th
birthday, 29th birthday.
And just in case you didn't
26.
Know, you're tuned to Listener Sponsored
That's
Radio,
right. Night Shift.
WBAI. And Night Shift is where life is like science fiction.
Oh, it is indeed.
So
I baked myself a cake.
You baked yourself a
homemade.
Cake?
Homemade.
Well, Byron, if you did it yourself, you didn't go to somebody else's house.
No. I don't do box cakes.
I understand.
I just
so
don't.
You made your own cake?
And what kind? What kind did you make?
Mm. It was a 4-egg white cake with homemade caramel icing.
Ooh.
4-egg white cake.
It was...
That sounds very moist.
Just for
Byron.
Next year, that's my favorite.
That's your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, see.
Mm.
All right.
Note to self.
You can do it in the shape of a V.
in the shape of a V. And
no, no, I could do it for you in the shape of a V.
There it is.
And the icing, I'll put it on top.
You just put, is your special, special Byron, you know, recipe? The icing was
old family recipe.
The family, Saunders.
Wait, but did you put a candle on it?
No.
Damn, we need to do that then, because the whole make-a-wish thing, that's kind of important to the karma.
You might burn the house down.
with 64 candles, you don't want them. Shit, no, that's a whole torch.
Mm. You just get big fat candle.
Yeah, that one big fat candle, right. Mm. But then I didn't want to dent the cake that way, so I just... I had cake for breakfast, cake for lunch, cake for dinner. And then I had dessert.
You decided to be decadent for your birthday.
Yes, I was.
I understand.
Totally.
What I do for my birthday, I baked myself a cake and ate it all day.
Could be worse.
Well, that's very nice, Byron. You treated yourself.
I did.
Well, but I have Mike and I would be happy to treat you to lunch or dinner for the Byron's birthday.
I don't know about all that, but I'll buy you a
Snicker bar. I said lunch or dinner.
Lunch or dinner.
How about a Snicker bar?
Well, my contract calls for a bow tie every week, so, you know, at least a bow tie.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you the first story.
All right, thank
you're the first story.
Thank you.
Valley gets the second story, okay, and we're going to go in order. And
yes, I read this story.
Now, yeah, but I followed.
I read this one.
Of course, but I follow the trail. Okay, you read it when?
Like yesterday.
Okay, well, good. I follow
this
the trail.
This is breaking news.
This is breaking news, but I'm going to follow the trail. Now, I was taken in. Now, you may be thinking you're seeing something different. So I was taken in in Great Britain.
Yes.
Okay, it's become all the rage to get beard facial hair transplant. It's become a rage in Great Britain. And I was reading about it, and I saw the story. Now read this story, Byron.
All right.
Okay,
because I started. Is it for women?
No. Not women. That's the circus.
Those
German
women.
Harry Nevis.
No Harry Nevis. But go ahead, Byron.
Stories from way back.
Now, all right. That's England.
That's
now,
right.
Read this story.
Hipsters drive New York beard transplant boom.
Okay, we've come across the pond.
New York?
In New York town. Now, keep going, my brother.
No longer.
This is our hometown.
That's right. No longer the preserve of fishermen or aging academics, beards are the signature look of urbane men in their 20s and 30s who consider themselves witty, creative, and politically progressive.
Yes, I will.
/ metrosexual?
Yes, yeah. Right. Something.
No, clean shaven.
Right. The unkempt, hairy hipster look is driving a plastic surgery boom in New York, where baby-faced young men are flocking to doctors for beard transplants that can cost a whopping. Now, here's what it's costing. Amazing. Only Wall Streeters can afford this.
Life is like science fiction.
U.S. $8,000 for a beard transplant. $8,000. Facial surgeons with private practices in Manhattan and Florida say they have seen a phenomenal increase in demand in the last 5 years, and hipsters are leading the way. You know, this sounds like...
Hipsters are leading the way.
Yes, this sounds like we can hide you anywhere.
This is crazy to me, though, because most men hate shaving. Yeah. And even if you have a beard, you still have to shave. And someday you may not want a beard.
Some men have not gotten that concept. They get the beard, and then they never shave. But go ahead, Byron.
New York surgeons can perform up to 3 or 4 procedures a week for U.S. $2,000 to more than $8,000, depending on how much hair needs to be transplanted from scalp to cheek. Wait a minute.
The full beard is 8.
Kind of hair.
Yeah, right.
The full beard is 8. I'll go for the goatee.
Oh, for the goatee. Okay.
It's only $2,500.
But here's what the problem is.
Or the little soul patch. That's the bargain
for the guy.
Soul patch.
$79.95.
Yeah, $8.75. Soul patch.
For the guy who's trying to keep from going bald, instead, this is the aging process of going bald.
Well, see, eventually you're going to want to see. Here's
you might want to move it back from your chin to your head.
Exactly. You keep it down on your chin, and then later on, you can put it back on your head.
Well, you're trolling for chicks, and then once you land her, you move it back up to your bald spot.
This is after it's no longer hip. You put that stuff back on your head. All right, go ahead.
Danny Higuera, 26.
Danny Hip what?
Higuera.
Oh.
He's Latina.
I thought you said Danny.
Higuera. He's 26.
Hip wearer.
Owns a construction company. He had a beard transplant over a year ago and says He is thrilled with the results. He grew up admiring his father's beard, but could only muster little patches here and there. So he forked over, he got forked all right, $8,000 on a transplant with Manhattan surgeon Jeffrey Epstein. There are people like that like long hair, short hair. I just wanted a nice beard, he told AFP. I liked the rugged look, that 5 o'clock shadow. Although he wouldn't always define himself a hipster, he does when it comes to facial hair. You see, to a certain degree, I do consider myself a hipster, Higuera said.
Well, so, to a certain degree, I do consider myself
I think it's,
you know, well, to a certain degree,
I think
degree,
it's very trendy.
I don't have trouble seeing over my pelvis, but I am pretty hip.
To do things with your beard, so he likes playing with himself.
I think hipster is an old-fashioned word anyway. Like, I don't think anyone in that age bracket actually says that.
Well, you know what I hope comes back, Ryan? I hope the powdered wig comes back.
Oh, no.
That'd be good. Men wearing powdered wigs.
No,
and
no.
The breeches.
No.
Yes, the breeches.
The sateen breeches, and that was sateen.
See, 10 years ago, film stars were clean-shaven, but red carpets today are full of the bearded Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, Jake Gyllenhaal, and, you know, Ben Affleck, yes,
Jake
to name a few.
Gyllenhaal. And Scruff is enough.
Scruff is enough. To
you
name
just
a
have
few.
To have a full beard.
You see, Epstein says the chief lookalike request is Pitt.
Really?
And mustachioed actor Tom Selleck is
number two. So look at that. Men are trying to look like Brad Pitt.
And Tom. But believe
Tom. Who's Tom?
Tom Selleck.
Tom,
they want that.
Men
they
still
want
look
that
like
mustachioed.
Tom Selleck? Come on.
They want the mustachioed actor Tom Selleck look.
I like the.
But believes most patients just
Tom
love
Selleck?
The scraggy look. You
yes.
See, 30 to
like the Fu Manchu.
Yes, 30 to 35% are these are those guys aged 26 to 40. You know, that sort of fit into the category of hipster. It's not a clear term, but probably the single biggest group are these guys. Anyway, uber trendy parts of Brooklyn. I wonder where that is. Uber trendy parts of Brooklyn. Maybe
bless
New
you.
York's hipster's hub, but doctors say patients fly in.
Hey, this weekend I'm going to hang out at the hipster hub.
Patients fly in from across the United States, Britain, or even Australia. Now, wait a minute. That's an $8,000 trip itself
listen,
to get an $8,000 hair job.
To the hipster hub.
Yeah, to the hipster hub to get a hair job. They say the boom is...
Flying into the hipster hub to get a hair job.
Yes, that's right.
That's good.
They say the boom is fueled not just by changing fashion, but by rising awareness and social acceptance of hair transplants and improved techniques that result in pretty impressive beards.
Wait, Byron, pause for a second. What do you want to say, Valerie? You have something you want to say in there?
I think it's funny that actually Brad Pitt originally, I think, started wearing the disheveled scruffy look when he was actually doing Habitat for Humanity in New Orleans after Katrina. I mean, it wasn't for a fashion statement. He was out there busting his ass, hammering houses up.
Yeah. When you're a celebrity, people, you know, how much did spiky hair catch on after the Jersey Shore? Okay, I mean, you know, hair glue sales went through the roof. But, I mean, you know, people just do what they see. But,
I know,
but here's something. Now that it's, all right, finish the article, because then we can talk about it.
Okay.
Because then we go deeper. Oh, go ahead, Byron.
Facial hair has, for centuries, been a sign of virility and masculinity in many cultures across the world.
Like, what's his name in the Miami Vice, right?
Yeah,
the scruff.
But some men can't grow facial hair for genetic reasons, or lasered their face in their 20s and later realized it
lasered
was a mistake.
Their face
well, you
in
know,
their
they
because they don't want to shave
right.
all the time.
Wow.
Get
well, they
bumps.
Followed that trend, and now
some people get shaving bumps.
That's ridiculous. They
Yael,
lasered their face.
Yael Halas,
crazy.
Another doctor whose practice is just off Park Avenue. Oh, you know he's charging the AG grand.
Of
okay.
course.
Agreed that demand had increased over the last 3 to 4 years. You see, these guys just kept streaming and complaining either they can't grow much of a beard or all at all, or they have patchy areas that weren't filling in properly. So, a lot of them tend to be in their 20s and 30s. They tend to be hip. New Yorkers definitely with an eye for aesthetic detail. They may work in the visual arts, and here's where they're working. They may work in the visual arts or performing arts, she says.
Oh, so like that musician with the soul patch might have paid
yes.
for that.
Halas says she sees 4 to 5 patients a week, baby. She's going to the ching ching at the bling bling at the bank at AG a pop. Come on now, that's a pretty good
that's
week's take, okay?
Thriving,
that's what I'm talking about.
I
should have been a cosmetic doctor here. Anyway, a decade ago, I would say it was maybe 10 a year. Now she's got 4 or 5 a week. And another reason for brisk trade is that only a handful of their transplanters are trained in facial plastic surgery. So this is a growing cottage industry. Glenn Charles works in Florida, but told AFP he gets more beard transplant patients from New York than any other state. So
I get more beard transplants from New York. So what's happening? Because this is the hipster hub?
Yeah. And I think they've made a connection to Florida where they can go hide in the Glades and down at West Palm and down at Key West, being somebody who they thought they were before and hiding from their significant
other. You're talking in abstracts now, Byron.
Of course. Well, I mean,
talking in abstracts.
My beard is growing while we speak.
I feel the beard growing.
I got a 5 o'clock. Oh, wait a minute. This is 12:10 shadow. Okay. The trend of Brooklyn hipsters, the facial hair thing is coming back. The scruffy look, the shadow look. The shadow nose.
Is that what it's called?
The shadow, look is in right now.
Say it, Mike. Say it. You know you want to.
And a lot of guys
who
are interested
only
in having that.
Shadow nose. No,
at that point, I decided to go for the shadow look.
And guess what? It's not just hipsters. It's now businessmen, firefighters, weightlifters.
Firefighters.
All kinds of people.
Weightlifters.
Yes.
Weightlifters?
And as he says, I'm glad the hair god is back.
Why weightlifters?
Who is the hair god? Wild Root.
I don't know, but it sounds like he's in the New York directory.
Well, whoever he is, he's obviously his flock is growing.
Oh, you know
the
it.
Hair guy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So, Byron, now, so what's your, well, first of all, let me get your take on this whole beard phenomenon.
I shave when I need to. I don't like the 5 o'clock shadow look on my face.
Well, you know, you're not in your 20s, 30s, but in your 20s, 30s, did you want, like,
I came out.
You had an afro.
Yeah, but I came out of a military academy, so we weren't allowed to have.
So
that
you needed
look.
Your hair.
Yeah,
because
you know.
You had been denied your hair.
And even in defiance, I was not really that defiant. You grow up with a certain kind of esprit de corps. You know, you want to be so debonair.
A certain kind of what did you say?
Debonair. You know, je ne sais quoi. So I grew a goatee at one point. But you know what happened? It made my face too long.
Oh.
And I realized that it wasn't...
You were going into, like, Lionel Richieville?
No, it was just a very sharp goatee, you know, mandrill-like.
Mandrill?
Yeah.
Like the band?
Like the magician.
Like the who?
The magician. Or was it Mandrake?
Oh, Mandrake.
Mandrake.
Well, you said Mandrill.
Yeah, Mandrill, the band.
Either
I remember the band.
The band or the actual eight.
Yeah,
and
no.
I was like, okay,
Mandrake.
You have a blue, red, white, and blue beard or something. Okay, all right.
No, Mandrake the magician.
Mandrake. Yes. Not Mandrill.
Not Mandrill. I do remember the band Mandrill, by the way. Very good, funky, afro kind of band.
Would we have been dancing to them in here?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. They had great stuff. But yes, Mandrake the Magician and that kind of goatee that, you know, kind of fit so proper. But then, and I was, at that time I was running a historical society, so I kind of fit in with the blue hairs and the old folks and, you know, it was just one of those kind of looks. But I'm not into the beard thing.
Well, I have two comments on your story.
Yes.
First of all, I think it's interesting that it costs more to put the hair on than it does to take it off with laser.
That's exactly.
And the second thing is, men may like the way it looks, but ladies may not like the way it can chafe or stretch our sensitive parts. So they might want to talk to their girl before they go doing this.
We do what are you talking about?
Zambonis.
I'm talking about scratchy facial hair and how it can chafe or scratch our sensitive parts. Like, I would far prefer
So, in other words,
you want a clean
when it comes to certain aspects
activities.
Of certain activities.
Like, men may like the way that they look in the pictures or something, but the women
so
may
what do you think,
not.
Like, what if it's like a Velcro thing you could just take it off?
That would be perfect.
Okay,
on for the selfies, off for the makeout sessions, and the other things that follow.
I understand.
Wait a minute.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to go with the Velcro.
Don't, Byron. If you can't go, then you're too young. You're too young, Byron. You're too young. But now, here's the question now. I'm going to have Valley now read another story because I did some more research. I was like, huh,
yes.
What is this all about? Now, let's just pause for a second here. Okay, these men, as you read, are trying to look like Brad Pitt, it's the hipsters. It's the hip thing. It's again, trying to alter how you look. Now, keep in mind, in China, you know what's happened with these do-it-yourself, alter your face. Remember, you've been here when I covered these stories. They have all kinds of things to make your nose longer, with people like to make your nostril, your nose flatter and wider and flared.
Are you serious?
I'm so serious. Oh my God, it's huge, but it's do-it-yourself plastic surgery. You just put some kind of thing on your face every day or in your mouth every day or to change your teeth. This is nothing. There's tons of them. We've been covering it for months now.
It looks now painful.
It is. No, they talk about how painful. Imagine, like, you got to stick, like, two D batteries in your nose. All right, whatever.
Ooh.
You ready?
That doctor alone was...
Yeah, we're not even going
by the way, the phone number here is 212-209-2900. We're talking about the kind of world we've made.
And ladies, back me up.
On what?
Do you think
Do you want a bearded man?
Yeah, do you want a scratchy beard chafing against your sensitive parts? This is not the fun way to go.
I mean, perhaps,
back me up on this, ladies.
You know, maybe he could use, what's that stuff? He uses conditioner. All right, go ahead.
Detangling spray.
Exactly.
You mean he could be a Breck man?
Exactly. He could. He could.
Okay, so...
Oh, it's silky smooth.
Here we go. Anti-aging experts who are... doing focus groups on
I'd like a card. I myself am an anti-aging expert.
I can tell you if you're looking a little worn here.
Yes, I am an anti-age expert. Byron.
So they
want some anti-aging lotion here.
They focus on
some liquid for
anti-aging tips, news, advice from foremost experts in the industry, and they've noticed a very interesting trend lately. The new trend is showing that the selfie is increasing the demand for plastic surgery. People are taking selfies and posting them on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and other social networking sites.
Yes.
They're not loving the way that they look, and it's fueling plastic surgery. Dr. Kevin McLaughlin, an anti-aging specialist.
So, hold on. So this me generation, Byron, this I'm important, everything I post, somebody's got to read, what did I do?
Yeah.
I ate an egg sandwich, now I need the accompanying photo.
I'm farting now.
Well, look, I found a bazillion whatever quotes or whatever. Anyway, so the me generation, but the selfies, which is now in the lexicon, it's in the dictionary now.
True.
It has become a word. It's not just slang anymore, it is a word. Selfie. All right, so keep going.
So in the last 3 months, in a recent survey, one out of three plastic surgeons, when questioning someone who's popped into their office, has had the answer, because I don't like the way I look in pictures. And it's the selfie that is causing it.
We're in the age of everybody takes pictures of themselves.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Now,
You got to better get... You need to get... go for the Tom Selleck or the Fu Manchu.
Okay.
Or get the mixture of the farm.
I want to look like Mike Sargent.
You want to look like Mike Sargent?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Very distinguished.
Distinguished gentleman.
Right?
Yeah.
I know that voice. That's Lovey. Yeah. That's that Mr. Howell voice from Gilligan's Island.
Another bag of money.
And Howell didn't have a beard, so come on.
So we've established that. Now, we've established that selfies are influencing. Now, I want you to read this next story.
Well,
this is a little more on the selfie thing. Just read. This has a little more detail for you.
Okay, here we go. Have you ever taken a selfie, looked at it, and decided you weren't thrilled about the way it looked? Maybe your nose looked too massive, or something just didn't seem right.
Massive.
Well, probably not you. However, according to the American Academy of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, the selfie trend is causing an increasing number of people to undertake face-related plastic surgery. Results from a recent study found that 1 in 3 plastic surgeons have seen an increase in the number of people requesting alterations to their face because they're more self-aware because of selfies.
Okay. Now, they got some interesting... can you read it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Social platforms like Instagram, Snapchat, and the iPhone app Selfie IM, which are solely image-based, force patients to hold a microscope up to their own image and often look at it with more than a self-critical eye than they ever have before. They may see that one eyebrow is uneven or some other little thing that doesn't meet with their approval.
Everyone's looking at themselves more, Byron.
These images seem to be more important to young people, and especially for hooking up for romantic interests. And everyone questions that they just want to put their best face forward. Feet, no more put your best foot forward. No, no one cares about that. We're all about the face right now. We'll get to the feet later if the face passes muster, right?
Yes.
Bullying was also reported to be a factor in prompting people, this is interesting, to undertake plastic surgery. Though most surgeons questioned in the study said children and teens tend to undergo procedures as a result of being bullied. More than 58% of plastic surgeons questioned said that in 2013 they saw an increase in cosmetic surgeries and injectables in people that are under age 30. So it's not just the older people that are being impacted by this. It's a whole slew of, it's everybody, anyone who takes a picture, apparently.
I do remember back in the 70s and 80s, I had auditioned for a McDonald's commercial. And the one thing that McDonald's and the fast food industry did not want you to have was hair on your face.
I know, and a lot of things
you
that you
look at it now, for. You look at it now, the whole transition that takes place, hair is in, it's like...
Well, I will say this, from a producer standpoint or an advertiser standpoint, it's harder to light someone with facial hair. You have to be a little more careful about how you hit them. So, but it is a lot more common now. It's, I guess, at a point people thought it wasn't looking, quote, clean cut or something. That's ridiculous. But
I like your take on it. The woman who says, wait a minute, hold on. You going down there? You better have some silky hair, buddy.
You better make it fun. And if want pain, we'll discuss it. And it might be in a different way.
That's another whole storyline.
Yeah. Might not be a steel wool kind of thing.
You know, what if you're skilled, though? You're like Gene Simmons.
Well,
you don't even have to get too close.
Okay.
Here's my question.
I just throw that in and think I'm not going to laugh.
Excuse me. He's going for the hairy tongue.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are going to make me. I have a stomach. I don't even have to do sit-ups all week.
He'll put a whole other thing on Kiss, let me tell you.
All right, now, so we're in this generation, Byron. This is the kind of world we've made. Everybody's on Facebook and Instagram, and everybody's got to say and send pictures themselves out all the time.
Right.
You know, there are people who are just fans on the social network.
Fans of themselves.
No. They have fans of just, if you're a really good-looking guy, a really good-looking girl, and you just have fans. You have 60,000 followers. None of them know you. They just know you're pretty, and your face has gotten around. So,
or your butt, because if you go on Instagram,
there's a girl who's got the best butt in the world, butt girl.
I've seen that butt,
and she's a social media star.
She's an instant celeb with Instagram.
There it is. So now, Byron, you have a story. We dig deeper.
Right.
We dig deeper.
Okay, we're going to go even deeper. This is the New Zealand Herald.
Now, how we're jumping all over the world. And this is what's happened. This is a world thing, Byron.
Yes.
And here's what I want to ask, okay? All right, well, go ahead. Read that story. Then
why are beards sexy? When did we fall in love with the fuzz? Well, you see, not since the 1970s have beards on men been so popular. They're prevailing everywhere on your lumberjack-styled barista, on suited lawyers and accountants. Even on once baby-faced pretty boys. And the beard naissance, we'll call it.
That's nascence.
Nascence, yes. Yes, beard naissance. We'll call it.
I guess Brad Pitt is a beard naissance.
Yes, making us all swoon. Are you swooning, Val? Not yet.
I'm just listening.
Wait till you hear this.
I'm just over here eating grapes and listening.
Of this. Beards have been favored throughout history, though there was a prominent explosion amongst the big thinkers of the mid-19th century. You see, it started in Europe with Charles Dickens, Benjamin Disraeli, and Karl Marx, among others, then moved stateside to Abraham Lincoln, who had the first ever presidential beard.
Oh, yeah, he was.
The 20th century saw a definite decline in hairy-faced men, save for an overflow from the Victorian era with the likes of Sigmund Freud. American films pushed a clean-shaven agenda as war heroes and tough guys appeared on screen, with crew cuts and strong, bare jawlines, heralding a worldwide
decline. Didn't Bronson have a mustache? He had a mustache.
Yeah, but see, that was a transitional time.
Okay, okay.
That was a middle ground.
Yeah, prior
ground,
to that, yeah, you had the John Wayne.
That's right, because it, as we came into the 70s, yes, that's when we got the, in the early 80s, that's when we got Magnum P.I.
Right. It was a change. And, it was a major change.
And Miami Vice. All right, I'm with you.
Okay. Anyway, the Mad Men-esque advertising room of the 1950s helped companies such as Gillette Safety Razor Company sell its products, conspiring in decades of short hair and clean-shaven men. Full beards emerged again in the late 60s.
So it was the commercialization of, of disposable razors.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. That
No. And it was this shaving cream. There was a sexy, commercial of a girl
everybody
shaving cream on with great
the people who made the shaving cream made the razors.
Yeah,
so.
But remember, remember.
Well, shaving cream could be a lot of fun.
That's right. Remember the quarterback for the New York Jets, Joe Namath, made a whole career of shaving off his beard. That was part of his... Hey, he got paid big bucks for that.
Yes, he was a shaving spokesman.
That's right. Full beards began to come back in the 1960s and boomed throughout the 70s, largely owing to the rock, soul, and folk musicians of the day. Beards were on everyone.
Musicians.
But the beards were on everyone, from university students to businessmen, and also gained huge appeal within the immigrant bear subculture. Emergent bear subculture and gay liberation movement. Interesting.
You mean like the village people?
A little badge of testosterone.
Remember,
had beards.
That's right. The village people had beards. Remember, what's his name from Queen? What's his face? The lead singer.
I would like to make a suggestion.
He brought a goatee back in. Remember, what's his name from lead singer from Queen? What was his name?
Freddie Mercury.
Freddie went for the mustache.
He just had the mustache.
Yeah,
nothing
else. He had a little goatee thing underneath.
No, he had no goatee, just mustache.
Yes,
he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Get a picture.
I have to go get that.
Get that picture.
Okay. Anyway, here we go. The 1980s came and facial hair died. Men wanted to emulate David Hasselhoff, who was only hairy from the neck down. While Miami Vice proved beards and turquoise blazers don't mix. Not until the end of the 2000s did beards return. Gillette and Braun, the evolution of the company that first marketed shaving to the mainstream, says the decline is largely because of the global financial crisis. That's right. Shaving just got too expensive. Sales across
true. Those razors are ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
The Mach 3.
Even
I use the Mach 3.
Stores, they keep them in a locked case, and you have
to call
the clerk
because
to
it's like $20
it.
Bucks for five razors.
It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
And you know how long I can make a razor last? A year.
I'm with you.
Oh, plus.
I'm with you.
You know, hell with the
but by December,
three blades.
You're cutting yourself by December.
No, I'm not.
Well, you know.
I'm good at how to make that not happen.
Avoiding?
Yes.
Well, you know, you have to use a lot of cream. Then.
That's right. Shaving just got too expensive. Sales across the shaving industry were actually down in the UK and United States last year for the first time because of guys
now people are transplanting.
Not shaving.
Guys not shaving. So beards are big, and people now want beards. And if you can't grow a beard,
and
you
that
put
came,
them on your face.
That's right. That came from research from the big guy, the chief financial officer at Procter & Gamble. And it was partly because of the recession.
Okay,
so
we can blame
the Republicans for that one.
All right. If we're going to make a whole story out of this, I don't think we should keep calling them hairy-faced men, though.
Yes, we should.
That was in your article. No, I want to propose that we call them follically abundant males.
Ooh,
follically abundant. There it is. Yes. Well, you want to appear follically abundant, you just get some of that hair in the back
and
of your
here's,
head.
Here's what happens. Here's exactly what happened.
What happened, Byron?
Because at that point, the beard nascence owes to the rise of the celebrity beard. Once again, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, repeat winners of Sexiest Man Alive polls. Were some of the first to get fuzzy. Prince Harry tried it. Ryan Gosling, Chris Pine, even ex-Disney heartthrobs like Zac Efron went bushy-faced. The average male picked up on the trend, cost necessity quickly. The flow-on effect of ubiquitous beardlessness
Ubiquitous beardedness
is that men.
Oh, ubiquitous beardedness.
Beardedness is that men suddenly became a lot better looking.
You think that that's.
No, you know, I bet when some men get older, a little bit older.
That could be.
Do you think it's working for Zach Galifianakis?
No.
No, and I think typically if a man is blonde, then sometimes their beard is red or it doesn't show up as much, and the men that we're citing that are getting more accolades typically have a little bit of color.
Yeah, well then, but you could get the stuff from the back of your head, put it on your face.
Okay.
And then dye it dark. What?
Yes, but guess what?
What?
It added to the bad boy look.
Is that what it says?
Well, no. Well, it kind of implies it.
Well, of course it does. They're unshaven.
Yes,
unkempt.
It's a heavy,
unkempt, like
10 days growth.
I don't have to take care of myself.
Did you hear me?
What?
I said unhousebroken. Like totally disheveled, you know?
Exactly. The disheveled
Like even whether they brush their teeth may be optional.
You can only do that when you're young. You know, when you're old, you just look old and unkempt.
All right. Now, here's what the bearded look implies.
Yes, talk to me.
Full beards, according to the study, imply high parenting ability and healthiness.
Oh, whatever. As if some girl that's hot for a guy in a beard is thinking, ooh, high parenting ability when
well,
I jump his bones.
It's subconscious. They're
whatever.
Thinking that. They
Such
are.
Virility and protectiveness.
He looks virile and like he'd be a good father.
Other findings confirm beardedness affects
me,
judgments
Daddy.
Of male sociosexual attributes.
Male sociosexual attributes.
And
yes.
suggests that an intermediate level of beardedness is most attractive, while full bearded men may be perceived as better fathers who could protect and invest in offspring.
Something about him.
Says, oh, so something suggests
something
affluence,
about
they're
the
saying.
Beard. The beard looks,
something about the full beard looks more affluent. That's what they're saying.
Okay, now, beards
look like Father
have
Christmas.
Health benefits, too. They do away with irritation and ingrown hairs, block 90 to 95% of UV rays, and can help prevent asthma symptoms.
Listen, that's a good
by
reason.
Preventing
that's
dust
listen,
and pollen.
If your girlfriend
from going
wants you to shave, you
nose.
Just say, listen.
Blocking UV rays.
Blocking UV rays here.
You want me to get skin cancer, bitch?
Exactly.
Please.
Exactly. Go ahead.
If you're not looking to father children or avert hay fever right now, beards are perceived as incredibly sexy. And you'll do better on the prowl with one. So, Val, I don't know.
No, that would be a great... Mm. No, wouldn't that be a fascinating focus group to say, walk into a bar, clean shaven, see how many girls you get phone numbers from, and walk into a bar with a beard and see how many girls you get phone numbers from. Same guy.
And what if he gets none from either?
Then get a new guy.
All right. Just when you thought it was just for heterosexuals, hold the phone, Louise. Perhaps more importantly, beards are authentic, exemplified in the gay community, where the
village
bearded
people.
Nascence
village people. We were
is prevalent.
About.
Johnny Scandros, founder of gay geo dating app Scruff.
Gay geo?
Yes.
What's gay geo?
Is it gay go?
No. Gay geo dating app.
Gay
a new
geo.
App.
Wow.
Geo.
Is it G-I-O?
G-E-O.
Oh, G-E-O.
Geo
like
dating app. Scruff puts it down to popular culture. You see, in the 60s, gay mainstream visibility was really Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Will and Grace. And it was images of men who were very
Wait,
clean shaven.
Wait, what decade was this?
90s. In the 90s.
Okay.
They were who were very clean shaven, very
quiet. Way before gay marriage.
And very tanned, he said. You see, I think a gay man especially said, this is it's me.
Is that your gay,
gay man.
Expert
yes,
voice?
Yeah, there are hundreds of thousands of gay men.
There's always a gay man. I've studied them all my life.
That and across the world that don't fit into representation. No matter your sexuality, if you've got a beard in 2014, you'll likely pull potential partners.
You'll pull a mate.
Easier than
well,
without.
Well, there it is. I better not shave. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to propose follically challenged.
Thank follicly. You.
Well, follically challenged men want to become follically abundant.
No, but I'm with you. It could be follically challenged and follically abundant. They're
That's
the two
right.
opposites.
That's right. And you can go from one to the other.
I wanted to contribute something else.
Yes?
Without even trying, I'm always in the vanguard of all the trends. Don't ask me why. People tell me I'm psychic. I started shaving my head when mullets were all the rage. I'm the same vintage as Mr. Sargent. I don't know if he wants me to out the
Don't
the
out
year.
My vintage, you fool.
Okay.
You fool, it's too dangerous.
It takes one to know one.
Too dangerous.
Okay, but you started shaving your head before it became the rage and you were the trendsetter. And what about facial hair? Where are you on that?
Well, again, you know, because the lady that broke my heart was not around anymore and she wanted me to shave. A couple of years ago, I started realizing that, yes, razors are expensive, and I can get away with my little machine once a week.
Yes. Oh, nice. So you save time, too.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what I do. I
so you, it was a
head
combo.
And face. All
it's money and time.
But I also want to contribute something else.
Yes.
The down there department, you know, I'm an explorer. And,
you're an explorer?
He's from the Men's Explorer Club.
Many, many continents.
Yes.
And I have baby skin on my face.
Mm.
Now, let's talk about the
Why don't you give out your Twitter?
On there and what it does to a sensitive guy's face skin. It's not always that pleasant, especially if you spend a lot of time down there, which, you know, I always tended to.
You got to come to a point, though, sir, because
well, the point is, you know, let's look at it from a different perspective.
He's saying
as
if
well.
He had a baby face, then if the woman wasn't properly groomed, she could chafe him.
Well, if
yes.
that's
we
big,
all had that.
Find that
every woman has got her own, should we say,
hygiene habits,
persnickety grooming habits, and you know some. Some believe in shaving, some believe in trimming, and some believe in letting the forest grow.
And don't forget waxing and lasering, Zipola, nothing.
Maybe at some point we should just make sure all bald-headed people get together.
You know, bald-headed, you know, that's saving my head.
Wait, I want to hear what you're saying. Hang on, say it again.
You know, I was about 17, and I realized that my headline was receding. And people told me that if I shaved my head clean, I would fortify my follicles and my hairs would grow.
Fortify your follicles.
Which turned out not to be the truth. And then a few years later, you know, as I grew a little bit more into being a man rather than a boy, I realized that there are women who find old men sexy.
Yeah, they want to like rub your head.
No, I've shaved my head, and the response
I've gotten.
I didn't
even know all that, you know, dubious intelligence about the excess of male hormones causing baldness, which may or may not be true. You know, I hadn't.
Well, that's what men who are bald tell themselves.
Is it a
just battery too for damn manly. My hair fell out.
But, you know, so it wasn't pride at all because I had to get over the hump of.
Wait a minute,
understanding
the
women I liked,
so that he could.
I don't like.
Now let me ask you a question, sir. Can I ask you a question?
Be faster.
No.
Can I join in this conversation?
I'm a judge.
All right.
Can I join in on this conversation?
You may join in, sir.
Absolutely.
Okay. What about the young men that is developing? I think what we tend to overlook is that male hair comes with developing from childhood to adulthood. And that's when mother runs into problems with her son. Mommy, I'm a man now. So, elaborate on that, gang.
Okay.
All right, but you got to make this tie into what we're talking about there, babe.
I think he's saying younger men
want to look like older men.
No, younger men when they can grow a beard want to.
Teenagers.
Yeah, they want to because now they can.
And we went through the thing where we gave mom a hard time.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with getting a beard?
It develops into the
beard comes into view as far as what was supposed to say the adolescent turning into an adult, and
it's a rite of manhood.
Uh, issue.
Well, I don't think that
they
these men.
The right to us?
I said it's like a passage to manhood.
Yeah, how come the guys couldn't get that?
No, I get what you're saying. You're saying it's a rite of passage into manhood, but I'm saying that I don't think it is. I think it's much more of a how they want to look. Maybe they want to look more manly, quote unquote, or stylish. You know, I think it has a lot more to do with the style. I don't think that necessarily Brad Pitt is the manliest man. He's he's a pretty boy.
Let's forget about Brad Pitt for a hot second. Mm-hmm. Let's think about you when you were going into manhood,
like a 16-year-old.
When your face got hairy around, what, 16, 17, 18 years old?
No, my hair face didn't get hairy around that. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
You with me? And so what I'm saying is that, forget about Brad Pitt. Let's be for real. Let's say, hey, you're coming into adulthood. Who am I? You know, that's why mom says, hell. She's no shit. Son, you're going to be a man.
Well, daughters do the same thing. They do. I mean,
and what happens is that the man comes out early and drives mom crazy, drives dad crazy. Who is this man that's in this house now? I'm the man, father says. I'm the man. And the little man says, I'm a man too. Because I got facial hair. I feel great. My hormones are working. Everything, and mom is getting worried about her son.
I know, but you got to understand, we're not really talking about teenagers. We're talking about men in their 20s and 30s. You know, I understand it's a different thing to want to grow a beard when you're young. Or are you saying that they always wanted to grow it and now they get the chance to?
What I'm saying is that the root of being growing the beard and wanting to be part of the scene extends from the adolescence.
Well, I definitely think that it has a lot to do with two things you're talking about. Defining right. yourself, you know, of course you're always defining yourself. I mean, one thing women always, I thought, had over men to an extent is, you know, they can change their hair and do a lot. They can have a lot more options of how they can change their look, you know. But a guy usually has to get, like, kind of some, cultivate a look, you know, and then that's his look. You know, over time it shifts.
You have to remember that society places a lot of baggage on women. Society says you've got to look a certain way.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. But again, now what we're talking about is, you know, plastic surgery for women and breast implants and butt implants and lip and injections, things like that. That's you know, par for the course. That's part of life now and part of having the power to alter the way you look or improve or get a nose job. But now we're seeing it like I was talking about in China with these do-it-yourself plastic surgery, and now men are transplanting hair from the back of their heads to put it on their face to be more hip or more like a movie star. So I part of what I think is, though,
the
I think...
The artificial man.
Yeah, exactly. The artificial. I think people are not happy with reality. I think that
they want a virtual world.
I think everything is we're a culture that has become more and more obsessed with less and less of what's real. You know,
as a kid would say, culture that's becoming more and more plastic.
Well, you're plastic, but look at it this way. You know, you're prescribed drugs to change your mood, so you don't feel however you felt. You know, if you're a child, you could get prescribed drugs. Children are prescribed drugs on the reg now, and it's so that they can be like everybody else. And you know, the most money making films of all time are always fantasy, science fiction, you know, alternate reality. And then what do people watch on TV? They watch other people's lives on TV. Nobody wants to be in reality.
Here's an interesting thought.
Yes.
Maybe the bigger picture is that people crave positive feedback from strangers. When they are on social networking sites, they're hungry to look.
Well,
even if they have someone that they live with that they love, they're addicted to getting online and seeing how many likes they got or how many people said you're hot.
Of course, that's what I'm saying. But that's my point.
The root of that is these soap opera dramas that used to come on back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I agree. We've talked about that here on the air. The whole idea of having, you know, an ongoing... I mean, that's how TV changed. You know, the nighttime soap changed TV. You know, so everything is not just self-contained episodes. It's a whole arc for the season and whatnot. And when you follow people's lives, hopefully you don't know what's going to happen. But I just think it's an interesting and disturbing time we live in, Byron.
Well, here's the question then. If the theme is, this is the kind of world we have made, yes. Are we making yes. a better world?
Now you see, Byron, now we're getting into the real question.
The crux yes. of it.
The crux of it. Hello, you're on the air.
You know, Mussolini, didn't he invent that whole shaved head look?
Yes. Oh, yeah. What, and that's the other thing. What about Kim Dong, whatever his name is? He says every guy in South Korea has to have his haircut.
Or the military.
Yeah, it's the military.
Haircut. Uniformity and a manufactured... a manufactured format for masculinity.
Exactly. This is what is acceptable.
Say, excuse me.
All right, what do you want to say, sir? Sir, what do you want to say?
I want to say something about the way men look.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
I'm on the air, right?
Yeah you are.
On the air.
I want to say something about the way men look. I'm 74 years old, so here's my opinion about a lot of things of the way men look, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, say men are balding, like, you know, that... ball look, that's more acceptable nowadays because of the black basketball players. Very important concept is the men that play basketball back with shaving their head. Very important.
Well, a lot of men on TV.
Listen, you know, this is his concept.
So, you know, I go back to the days we had that Elvis Presley look with the guys with those...
The pompadour.
I call like sissy black hair type. You know, like the head with the
sissy black hair
in the front.
Yes.
And all that. Men had to look
wild,
like that.
Wild rule cream.
A girl wouldn't go out with a guy if he had that look about... If he didn't have hair.
Wasn't there a song?
A girl saying, go out with guys without hair. So, very important with black basketball players... Shaving their heads. It made a real bit difference in the way men look.
Yeah.
You know?
Well.
And the other little thing about myself was, say, the influence of, let's say, the movie star like Clark Gable with that little thin mustache in the front.
The Fu Manchu. Look. Do you have a mustache, sir?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a beard? Do you have a beard?
No, I moved through that.
Are you bald?
He's past all.
Are you follically abundant?
You know, I don't care about bald no more. It doesn't mean nothing to me.
Okay, handsome with a mustache. I like that. Okay,
there it is.
That's one point. You know I'm keeping track with handsome with a mustache. Who else out there can call in?
Hello, you're on the air.
Never had a mustache.
All right, I'm writing you down too.
All right, who is this?
I've got two mustachios.
How you doing? How you guys doing?
How you doing?
We're good.
What's your name?
This is G. You know what's so funny to me though?
What's up, G?
Because I hear everybody saying, even my friends, I like this, but it's what you like. And I say, well, how do we really know what we like? Because we've been advertised to and created these things on mind since from babyhood all the way up. So in reality, we don't know really what we like. We don't know really who we are because we've been advertised to conform, to condition. So we've constantly been doing that. But who we really are, what we really like, if we didn't have all these advertisements pushed at us from childhood television, magazines, we would probably choose totally different things. So none of us know what we truly like because we haven't authentically been left alone to really find out what we really like.
Like raised by wolves, no mirrors, no TV.
We are definitely programmed. But I do think this, one thing I've always thought was interesting is, all right, you ever see somebody who's like, they remind you of somebody and they dress like that person too. Yes. It's like that body type, that personality type. They like that same thing and they remind you so much, or they remind you of somebody you knew when you were in high school, but they're in high school now 25 years later and you go, wow, you know. So there is something to the taste.
I was down
to the taste
the other day.
Yes,
I saw Mike Sargent lookalike.
You saw did you catch him?
I was like, excuse me,
did you go up to
him? Did you take a selfie?
I hear that occasionally.
Selfie, right.
A selfie.
Has anybody ever thought about, it's just the idea, if we have never had all these advertisements, we would probably be a total different nation. We probably have less self-hate. But it's like, you need this car, you need a new car, you need this phone.
That is true.
You need everything but what you have.
We wouldn't have to be keeping up with the Joneses.
You need everything but what you have. I agree with you 100%.
Good observation.
Yes. Right, give him a point for that. He gets a point for that.
All right, you get a point. Even if you don't even have a mustache, I'm writing you down. You get a point.
That's hello, you're on the air.
Okay. Thanks, Byron.
Lenin and Trotsky had goatees.
Yes, he did. That's exactly correct.
Some people call up with an opinion. Some people just throw out some facts there for us.
Because now I'm keeping track. I'm writing down mustaches, goatees, soul patches, and
what's the phone number here, Byron?
212.
Fu Manchu. Don't forget the Fu Manchu.
900. Sorry. Come on, y'all. Call us. We're ready for you. We're going to see if you got hair.
And bear. Ladies, you call in too, even if you don't have any of those, and tell us what you like.
Byron, what's the phone number?
212-209-2900.
What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul?
Colin had a droopy mustache, and he sucked on his pipe while he figured out who he was going to boss next.
This is true.
That's five for mustaches now.
It's five for mustaches now.
He had a walrus look.
Mm-hmm. What about Churchill?
Churchill was kind of an oddity. Because there was a time when he had a little bit of the facial stuff, and then he went clean.
The mutton chop thing?
Yeah, he went clean, and, you know, as he started to get older, he really changed it. It became a different...
What do you guys think about the whole mutton chop thing?
Oh, I...
Good looker.
Well, if you like Wolverine, probably. You got to go with that one, you know. But there was a time when that was in. The mutton chops were in.
Early 70s.
Yeah, see?
That was back.
With cube collars and bell bottoms.
Black
and
would have made a hefty little chunk.
Yeah, surely.
I remember there was a shoe called the Marshmallow. Do you remember that?
Yes, I kind of remember that.
You could have a buy one mutt and get one free.
That's good.
I'll do the campaign.
Yes.
Call me plastic surgeon.
Oh, yes.
What's the number here?
212-209-2900.
Hello, you're in the air.
Good morning.
Churchill would be in the bath all day and get drunk while he... And people don't know this. I found this out.
Okay.
There's a special book. Churchill would spend all day in the bath getting drunk while he figured out how to plan World War II. I'm not kidding.
Okay. I could believe that. He had lots on his mind. Remember the buzz bombs and the bombing of London and...
I love taking a bath. I take two baths a day whenever I have a chance.
In a way, it might have been like meditating for him.
Of course.
He created Secret Service.
He had to get in his zen.
Of Great Britain, you know? He had
a lot. But you know what? He probably had people pulling at him all day. The only solace he could have is if he locked the door and said, I'm in the bathroom, everyone, leave me the heck alone.
Yes, I'm in the library. Don't bother me.
I'd love to be alone with a
bravo. You know, Churchill was apparently drunk frequently.
Ah.
You know that funny anecdote about a woman who came up to him at the party and said, you, sir, are drunk. You guys know that one?
What did he say?
He turned to her and he said, that may be true, madam, but I shall be sober in the morning while you shall always be ugly.
That's good. Good Churchill witticism. Yes. You shall always be alive.
There's a whole bookstore in Midtown Manhattan devoted to one thing, Churchill. Did you know that?
Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Val says she'll meet you there for coffee.
Oh, okay.
You can Churchill each other.
Churchill's fascinating. Seriously, we would be in a different world had he not done some of the things that he did. And nobody's perfect. Whatever. If he had to meditate in the bathroom with the door locked to get the world together, then...
Drunk.
Because he changed his philosophy after Chamberlain screwed it up. And then he became what Great Britain is known to be now because of his stubborn ability.
But is he known as stubborn? He's known as don't ever quit, don't ever quit, ever quit.
That's right. Exactly.
England's finest hour.
In its finest hour, indeed. Okay.
I think if we're talking about England and Churchill, we have to say, as Byron just did, indeed.
Now let me ask you a question. Indeed. Going back to our theme here, the kind of world we made. Why do you think Frozen has become the most money making animated film of all time, Byron?
Timing. That's all.
You think it's all just timing?
Yeah, I mean...
you don't think it has anything to do with that quote they use in the campaign?
Could be.
From
Mr.
Mike Sargent.
Yeah.
The amazing quote in the centerfold of People Magazine.
I was quoted on the most money.
And what was your quote?
Yeah, what was your quote?
I don't remember.
Yes, you do. Come on, you got paid for it.
I don't remember what I said.
It was not.
It was something.
It was something witty and
stylish. Yes, of course. Come on, give us the Mike witticism.
This is really good, you know.
Not it.
Mike.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, come on. Are you kidding?
But seriously, everyone listening, Mike Sargent, the voice
the
that you're listening
mean
to
anything.
Right now.
I'm just being silly.
Don't say it doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it
was quoted in People Magazine as
it did
the
mean something.
Top quote for the Frozen film by film critics.
So why, Mike, do you think it's making all the money?
Well, I have a few thoughts.
I know.
I think it goes in line with, you know, just, you know, I think timing is definitely a factor. I think the, you know, the storyline and the songs, they're all good and it all works. And it's a good movie, you know, but it's also, again, a very good escapism.
What's your favorite what is your favorite song from the movie?
Oh, please.
Come on now. You've got two or three that are in the top 20 right now.
You know, I couldn't even.
Say Let It Go.
I you know.
By Dazeem.
Dazeem.
Can you believe he said that at the Grammys instead of calling her Idina Menzel?
Yeah, he did.
Idel Dazeem.
I know.
He did do that.
You know, it brought up a whole thing at Travolta sizing your name.
Yes.
I know. I was on that website the next day and I emailed it to 20 of my friends. You Travolta-ize your name. You type in your real name and it instantly spits out the mangled version of what your name would be if Travolta introduced you at the Grammys.
That's too funny.
You didn't know about that, Marie?
Well, I did see all the blogs that came afterwards. Yes, I did. It was like, it was just instant. It was
fun. Now you're on my hot list. If something like that comes along hot, again, I'll just email it to you right away.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Thank you.
You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. The name of the show?
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
Some news there I felt you'd be happy about. Did you know about this?
Yeah, kind of. All right. This is fun. This is fun. Yes. But, you know, there's not only is this one fun, but there was another story that came out about the Girl Scout who was selling cookies at the pot.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that story. Yes.
They made her move her spot. They made her move from that spot. You know that?
I think that was a good business woman.
She knew exactly what she was doing. Exactly. Right, okay. Anyway, anti-Rob Ford group advocates mayoral candidates who drink and smoke pot just not crack.
There it is.
There you have it. Okay. You know about Toronto's mayor. Well, there's a group that is apparently fine with their future mayor getting drunk on booze or lifted on pot as long as he or she doesn't smoke crack. You see, a series of campaign signs have been posted in Toronto featuring phony mayoral candidates with some fairly funny slogans that mock current Mayor Rob Ford, infamous for admitting that he smoked crack cocaine. Here's one of those that's a real good one. New anti-Ford poster. 2 hashtag topholypick.twitter.com. Kate Simpson at KateSimpson24, March 31st.
So, are you with that?
Yeah, I'm with that. I know about.
It doesn't make you appreciate Marion Barry. Like, he got caught smoking crack
twice.
And then he got reelected.
Yes, he did.
No, that's a politician.
That's what. Well, see, the when a politician
stumbles,
sins, and fails in the face of his public.
They can't be judged for only that.
That's right. This guy, has he been a good mayor? Then let him keep smoking crack.
Let him keep smoking crack.
Hey!
Would you say that with a president, too? Let him keep giving cigars to Monica?
Well, you know, he never had sex with that woman. He had a cigar. They were smoking together.
I see.
Exchanging the finer points of lighting which end of the cigar gets lit.
Byron, you're a tactful man. Hello, you're the air.
Marion Barry was on the board of Pacifica, too.
There it is. See? Everybody deserves a second
chance. We can't touch that one. I'm sorry.
He got to carry his cross. You wreck your heart. And the sorrow never ends. We got to bury our friend. It was heavy on me. Heavy on me. Heavy on me.
Valley, you have a story for us.
I do.
It's a little disturbing.
Very disturbing. Court ruling says lesbian chef is owed $1.6 million after boss prayed to cure her of her sexuality. Here we go. A New York appeals court upheld a lower court's ruling.
This is New York. This is not...
Yeah. This is not in the wilds of fill in the blank. Belt,
yeah.
No. No. A New York appeals court upheld a lower court's ruling that a lesbian chef is owed $1.6 million for being forced to attend weekly prayer meetings over a three-year span where her boss would regularly warn that gay people were going to hell. Morella Salimi sued Gloria's Tribeca Incorporated and Gloria's Tribeca Mex and its owner, Edward Globicar, for violations of the New York City human rights laws after a string of incidents occurred over a three-year period. It was not one time. Salimi was awarded... Yeah, wait till you hear this. Salimi was awarded $400,000 in compensatory damages and $1.2 million in punitive damages in what her lawyer, Derek Smith, called the largest employment verdict in New York history. A three-judge panel affirmed the verdict for Salimi, and this is the quote.
Wow.
He not only threatened her soul, but he also threatened her livelihood. Smith told the New York Post he thought praying might cure her of her sexuality, but she is someone who did not need to be saved. Globicar had attempted to argue that he was simply exercising his right to free speech.
Wow.
The trial court properly protected Globicar's First Amendment rights by instructing the jury that he did have a right to express his religious beliefs and practice religion, providing that he would not discriminate against his employees based on religion or sexual orientation. Apparently, exactly. That is exactly what happened.
Well, that's what the Constitution says.
Think about it, $1.6 million.
It's a violation of one's civil rights.
And a secondary payment of $400,000 in compensatory damages.
It's a hate crime.
Well, and over 3 years, he basically said, it sounds like he said, that if she didn't change, she would be fired. She could lose her livelihood.
Exactly.
She didn't attend the prayer meetings where she was openly ridiculed and where he openly stated that gay people were going to burn in hell and were, you know.
Right.
It's just 3 years.
That's like abuse.
You know, those Bible-toting, far-right-wing Christians who...
This is in New York, Byron.
...pretend... That's right, they are a lot in New York. Upstate New York, they are a lot, believe me. And they pretend to be the followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say this with all seriousness. The whole entire New Testament, there's not one mention of Christ instigating war. The entire New Testament is about love, about peace,
about charity,
about nonviolence,
mm-hmm,
as a law against and a practice against violence. And the church, his ministry, as my pastor said, did not start until he threw the money changers out of the church, and that's when they started to hate him. But prior to that, his whole ministry was about bringing in those from different cultures, different sexual orientation.
It was love and compassion.
It was love and compassion unrestrained. Now, the part that gets me is the Judeo-Christian ethic that we have running around now, is that what part of the Jesus Christ message did they not get?
Did they misconstrue as hatred or torture,
yes,
or burning if someone,
yes,
disagrees with, exactly, your lifestyle?
Wait, you mean,
exactly,
Christ didn't say discriminate?
Yeah, but see, that's the point at which are you? Which Christ are you following? Are you following Jesus Christ or are you following the Antichrist? And that's something to be very questioned in this day that we go through right now.
I concur, Byron.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you remember I wrote a play with that line in it.
Yes.
So I'm with you. I'm
with
you.
No, that story is very disturbing in so many ways because it to have to go to court to protect that woman when, you know, the laws of that community should have had him arrested on the first day he committed that crime.
I also want to give props to WBAI, because did any of us or anyone listening hear this story covered in widespread news?
No.
Absolutely not.
I get the New York Times every day.
It's formats like this where we can talk about things. I mean, yeah, sure, we're joking and we're having a good time and it's your birthday and all of that.
Okay.
But we get real when it's time to get real.
Absolutely.
And spread the word. And the more people talk about the intolerance, hopefully the sooner it will end, piece by piece and mind by mind.
And here's what's something
wait,
else.
Ellie, on the air?
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
I just want to say one thing that I want you to know. And this is very, very important to what you're saying. Jesus never said worship him.
That's right.
I'm going to read from the Bible.
Yes.
On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers.
Yes.
And that is found.
You're right. You're right. Good quote, my friend. Thanks for. And here's a piece of New York history I want to share with you. The Flushing Remonstrance. You ever hear of that?
I never heard of that.
Okay.
Can I give you the section?
Yeah,
that
go
I found
ahead.
This at.
Yeah, what was it? What
section?
The
section is Matthew 7.
Yes.
Actually starts on the 21st chapter and goes down
verse.
To the 21st chapter, the 23rd verse.
Yes.
And it's called concerning self-deception.
Okay. That's a good one. Thank you. Now, Flushing Remonstrance.
We've got people calling in.
Yeah, the Flushing Remonstrance.
The Bible, not you.
Yeah, the Flushing Remonstrance, just for all those listening, is a very piece of good New York history. In Flushing in the late 1600s, I think it was, late 1670, somewhere around there, Flushing, New York City, is the birthplace of religious freedom in this country. They got several religions who came together and wrote what is called the Magna Carta of religious tolerance in this country. It is the very verse that was used for the guaranteed amendments of religious tolerance and freedom in this country. So that's your New York history, New York City history.
Nice.
Hello, you're on the
air. Is this me? I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. They just had a report on the BBC just before your show came on about two companies that are fighting for their right to practice their religious beliefs. Corporations.
Wow.
Not for nothing, but I just thought it fit in. Bye.
Thank you. Good stuff, folks. Good stuff. Your listeners are very intellectual this evening, Mike.
Yeah, we have smart people.
Intellectual and spiritual.
Yes, I'm
you're tuned
that.
To Listener Sponsored Radio. And first of all, we're on Facebook. If you've never heard the show before, it's called Night Shift, where life is like science fiction. Tonight, we're doing cultural analysis. Cultural analysis. And you can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT. That's Night Shift. And we're on the web. You can go to listen to shows going back. I thought it was only going back 5 years, Brian. It goes back to 2008.
Wow.
You got shows going back to 2008. You go to
lifeislikesciencefiction.com. Wow.
That's all one word, Life is Like Science Fiction. And you, too, can listen to the magic of... You could download these Night Shift shows.
And a lot of DGM.
And fill up, 40 gigs on your iPod. What's the phone number here, Valley?
I don't know, 212-209-2900.
That's it. You got it.
I never call myself. Mike, tell them what DGM is.
DGM stands for Damn Good Music.
Yes.
It's
and
what
you
we play.
Can pick them. Let me tell you, this man knows his music.
Fascinating.
Mike Sargent.
Valley Dawn.
This is going to be just a little bit
So there are a number of movies that are in theaters that I do want to mention that I can talk to you about as well. And some DVDs that are coming out.
Right.
And, Mr. Saunders.
Yes, sir.
Bless you.
I saw one with you that I really liked.
Which one was that?
The original filmmaker for Dune.
Oh, Jodorowsky?
Yeah. That was wonderful.
I interviewed the director. I played the interview with the director last week.
I enjoyed that film.
Wasn't that good?
Yes, that really was
good.
Brilliant.
Really good.
Documentary.
Yes.
Loved it.
Very inspiring.
Very
inspiring. So you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. And you said the phone number, Valley, is what?
212-209-2900.
212-209-2900. And you have another story for us, Valley?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no. Byron's got a story.
When you thought you had heard it all.
I'm still steaming about the lesbian thing.
That's
Byron,
really
you're
a
up.
Tough one. Okay. Mm. Yes. He hasn't left the building yet.
Yes. Byron?
New Michael Jackson album to be released in May.
That's kind of amazing, isn't it? Okay, a new Michael Jackson album. Right,
I'm enjoying it. Okay. I'm
amazing.
A fan.
He's too. He's more productive now that he's gone.
And you know what? I still love him. I still miss him.
No, he was so productive when he was alive that we're still getting new things.
Exactly. It's to be released May 13th.
It's a duet with him, Biggie, and Elvis.
Featuring 8 new tracks from his archive. And you know who's doing this? Which I have to compliment. I didn't realize he was the chairman of Epic Records. But L.A. Reid.
And you know it's going to be good.
No.
This is
right.
Just like, these are Michael Jackson rejects.
You're right. And with Remix and, of course, the
They were works in progress.
Works in progress with one of his original producers. You got to love it. And you know he's not going to just give us anything that's slop. Anyway, he is, it's titled X-scape. Okay? And there are 4 decades of archive, that demos and cutoffs that Jackson had in his collection, in his repository. And so we have several tracks. I believe there are 8 new tracks. Anyway, the tracks were then updated by the likes of Timbaland, who works with Justin Timberlake, and Stargate, who produced Rihanna and Beyonce. So Reid called the process of reworking the songs contemporizing. That's interesting. Michael left behind some musical performances that we take great pride in presenting through the vision of music producers that he either worked with directly with or expressed strong desire to work with. We are extremely proud and honored to present this music to the world. A deluxe edition of the album will also feature 8 tracks in their original form alongside the remixed versions. Escape is the only track on the album to be updated by its original producer, Rodney Jerkins, who worked on the sessions of Jackson's final studio album, Invincible, in 2001. Now, John Branca and John McClain, co-executors of Jackson's estate, said Michael was always on the cutting edge and was constantly reaching out to new producers looking for new sounds. He was always relevant and current. These tracks, in many ways, capture the spirit. We thank L.A. Reid for his vision. Now, Lumpy, other producers involved in the project include McClain and Jerome J. Rock Harmon. Jackson, of course, you know, died June 25th at the age of 50. And he had been out of the public eye for several years, but he was preparing for a series of concerts, as you may recall, at the O2 Arena in London. There were supposed to be 50 concerts, I do believe. Incredibly outrageous contract from the giddy up. Anyway, Jackson, who was nicknamed the King of Pop, span a career since he was starting at 5 years old.
Wow.
Anyway, we all know his biggest hits. The one previous album of unreleased material titled Michael was issued in 2010. Among its better tracks were Hold My Hand, a duet with R&B singer Akon, which was almost complete at the time of his death, and a cover of Yellow Magic Orchestra's Behind the Mask, which dated from the 80s. Now, critics weren't keen with his last album, The Guardian calling the album lumpy and schlocky. Rolling Stone magazine noted he would not have released anything like this compilation. Well, however, the album sold relatively well, although well below the 51 million he achieved with Thriller, paving the way for future compilations. And let me just add, his estate made over $1 billion last year, so I think, you know, the record's going to be okay. Nice story, though.
Yeah, whether the critics agree or like it or not, the people do.
Hello.
So as long as money keeps coming in for his children and his art keeps spreading to new people, it's all
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Somebody's laughing all the way to the bank for the estate
I'm
at any critics.
Forward.
Me
I'm
too.
Looking forward to it. Definitely.
Me too.
I hope there's videos that they can recreate. I'm sure there's
footage
that Landis has or, you know, Singleton has that they could go back and kind of like do a remix of some of the spaghetti that got
Very
cut
cool.
on the floor.
And look what Daft Punk recently did with their video with the old school footage.
Yes.
So
excellent stuff. Anyway.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. Hey, Mike. Val.
Yes.
It's April Fool's Day.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now.
A ship of fools in the studio here.
There it is.
As we segue. Happy Fool's Day.
Merry Fool's Day.
I guess. Something to that effect.
Do you know anybody born today? My intern is born today.
Michelle?
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy birthday,
Happy
Michelle.
Happy birthday, Michelle. You didn't expect that
she's
now, did you?
She's not living. Listening. I'm sure.
She's not listening.
Well, you can tell her and she can pull it on the archive. At least she can tell all her friends.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
We gave her big props tonight.
Big shout out.
2 hours and 3 minutes in.
Yes. So, Mike.
A couple things I want you to mention that are coming out on DVD. That one's for you, Byron.
You mean the April Fool's Day story from Star Vista?
No, it's not an April Fool's Day story. This is not a story. This is not a Fool's Day story. It comes out on April Fool's Day.
Oh.
This DVD comes out.
Oh, yes. Okay.
You see what it is. You have to mention it.
Yeah.
It's called a mention, Byron.
The Dean Martin Celebrity Roast, Fully Roasted.
Fully Roasted. I should say who it's featuring.
All right, if you're not familiar, you know there are some people who are probably not familiar with Dean Martin.
We're talking about it. Have you seen them?
I've seen some of them, yes. They're roasts.
It's mind-blowing that all they did is read off prompter.
Yes.
And
drink.
Completely fascinating. No, believe they were definitely drinking.
Definitely did
it's
lots
just wild to see the TV
of drinks. I've seen some
when
of
you
these,
watch
okay.
it, you go like, wow, I forgot that's how it was. Like, you always knew people were reading for prompters in the 70s, in the 80s. You know what?
And when they brought Don Rickles on and some of the guys who were part of the, you know, Sunset Strip Drive club, I mean, these guys were just funny. I mean, it was amazing. Oh, yes, of course I was. Dean Martin's hit variety show was in its ninth year in 1974 when the staff went into a huddle to figure out what to do for the season's finales. Somebody yelled out, well, why don't we toast a bunch of big stars? Hey, you know that caught on fast. The word toast suddenly turned to roast, and the whole room tingled with anticipation of what that could mean. What began as a ratings booster for the final season of the Dean Martin Show then evolved into the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast, an eagerly awaited franchise of regular NBC television specials that targeted the biggest names in the world of entertainment and beyond. From Bob Hope to Muhammad Ali, Johnny Carson to Lucille Ball, Governor Ronald Reagan to Red Fox, roasted twice. Anybody with a thick skin and a good agent was fair game. And the specials proved so popular that the top-rated series ran for 9 years, okay?
9 years, Byron.
This March, fans of old Hollywood, the golden age of television, and classic comedy can celebrate the bashing and basting of some of the greatest performers and personalities of the 20th century. The Dean Martin Celebrity Roasts, Fully Roasted. Now, that's the title of the new DVD release as of today.
It's a multi-DVD.
That's right. This six-disc collection includes 17 complete and unedited celebrity roasts featuring a who's who. The roster, I mean, goes on. It's amazing. Betty White, Reagan, Betty Davis, Muhammad Ali, George Burns, Angie Dickinson, Telly Savalas, who loves you, baby, Don Rowan, and Dick Martin. You got to have those guys. Senator Barry Goldwater, wow. Suzanne Somers, George Washington, portrayed
the president,
portrayed by Jan Layton, Dennis Weaver, Ralph Nader, Gabe Kaplan, Red Fox, Hugh Hefner, and Zsa Gabor. Just pick a Gabor. She was on, okay? And the list of roasters that throwing zingers at the men and women of the hour is every bit as impressive. Milton Berle. I mean, these guys did stick and schlock at the same time. And I've seen some of this. There's some of the funniest jokes and one-liners ever. Red Buttons, Phyllis Diller, Bonnie Franklin, Rich Little, Abe Vigoda, Jimmy Walker, Orson Welles, Jack Benny, Don DeLuise, Henry Fonda.
Orson Welles.
Yes, Orson Welles. Ruth Buzzy, Wilt Chamberlain, Howard Cosell, Billy Crystal, Gene Kelly, LaWanda Page, Jackie Mason, Jimmy Stewart, Shelley Winters, Bob Newhart, Carol O'Connor, Jack Klugman, Johnny Bench, and I mean many, many more. That's right. Even they wrote good lines for him after he retired from
yes, they did. They had the baseball line track, but I saw a jockey on there who I've never heard of, but, you know, obviously, you know, but, you know, I vaguely remember these things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And now check this out. There's bonus features. The comedy sketches featuring Dean, Howard, Cassell, Vincent Price. Steve Lawrence.
With Dean Martin.
Steve Lawrence.
That's sort of surreal.
Yeah, right. Audrey Meadows, Buddy Hackett, and others. Now, three featurettes, Ladies of the Dais, Roast
I really can't
in
picture
Hell.
Buddy Hackett and Vincent Price on the same show.
It's a tough sell, but I bet it was one of the funniest ones coming. Politicians Under Fire, Beauty and the Beast, Ruth Buzzy and Muhammad. Versus,
Ruth Buzzy, yes, she right. was a funny woman.
This was People versus Muhammad Ali. Well, that had to be a scream that night.
Ruth Buzzy.
Yes. Interviews with Phyllis Diller, Shirley Jones, Tony Danza, Carol Burnett, Ruth Buzzy, Angie Dickinson, and Jimmy.
Yeah, you know,
Walker.
Ruth Buzzy's still alive. She's still around.
Wow. Wow. This is quite a comedy set. As of today, released by 20th
Century. Oh, you know
Century.
Who else is on the documentary in there? Rich Little.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember watching the Dean Martin Hour as a kid growing up. So I've seen these shows. And I can imagine with the footage that was not seen on TV by censorship.
What's interesting is that the shows, shows are only whatever, half hour. But they obviously film for like an hour and a half.
Oh, totally.
Because you always see people on the dais who never get to talk. That's because they cut them out.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody
so
up there
fast,
gets,
pretty fascinating.
Gets a roll.
The whole thing is fascinating. But the documentary is the most fascinating thing about the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm. You've seen it?
I've seen some episodes and I watched the documentary and I was really, the documentary was great. It was so instructive about, you know, when you're a star, especially in that time, you have your people who are handling you. Everybody around you just lets you self-destruct however it is. And to me, I don't want to say anything negative, but Dean Martin clearly had some issues. And it's just, everybody kind of talks around it, you know. But it when you watch him, it's just pretty, you know.
He was a functional alcoholic.
Completely functional.
You see it even in his movies, because I've been watching John Wayne movies recently, and he's in a couple of the John Wayne movies. And, I mean, you're looking at the...
You've been watching John Wayne movies recently?
Oh, yes. I'm a Wayne fan.
You're a Wayne fan,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I am.
See, I never got
the
to be
Duke.
A Wayne fan.
He was amazing.
He was a hero.
He was
for
a cowboy.
Your generation. Go ahead. Talk to me, Barn.
So anyway, you know, Dean had his issues, and it was very public. I remember those stories as well, and then of course watching the movies and his show. I mean, he created a persona about the drunk that ultimately, what's his name, and Arthur took a lot of that shtick, you know. I mean, Dean created drunk. Okay.
Well, no. Foster Brooks was the drunk. That was his shtick. Don't forget Foster Brooks.
He gave the drunk
He was the penultimate 60s, 70s drunk. Do you remember Foster Brooks?
Mm-mm.
He was this comedian. He would talk like that, like he was really drunk and he'd forget and he'd hiccup and everything. And that was his whole thing. And his hair was all like crazy. And that was his whole shtick.
And what's really funny, during the guys who were impersonators, they would do Dean. They would do Foster.
Oh, they all do Dean.
And it was funny to watch, because everybody who would get into that moment at the comedy of that time had a Dean Martin routine.
Impression.
Yeah.
Oh, and they even tell you there's a warning on there, like, some of this humor would be considered politically incorrect. Like, I saw the roast of Red Fox, and let me just say, it was off color.
Raw.
It was off color. It was raw, and they could go there. They could never make those kind of jokes on TV today.
And it was funny.
They could never say this stuff.
Given Red Fox, he and
you gotta watch
people of his time.
You gotta watch that episode. They had Slappy White that episode. Yeah. He's roasting Red Fox. They couldn't do it without Slappy White. Absolutely. Yeah, Slappy White's in there. So if you don't know what we're talking about, you can look up the Dean Martin. Yeah. It's an interesting show. It's worth watching.
Everybody loves somebody sometime.
That's Byron doing his Dean impression. And it's available now. I have the full set of every episode. Okay. They sent me that.
Now, you have more movies?
I do have more movies. I do have more movies.
There's so much stuff coming out
yes,
now.
Yes, there is. There you go. I'll let you read this one. But Valley's got a couple there. Talk to me, Valley. What else is coming out?
Philomena's coming out with Judy Dench and Steve Coogan.
Dame Judy Dench.
Oh, yes, please. And this is one you might want to check out. It won for Best Screenplay, and it was nominated for 4 Academy Awards for Best Actress in a Leading Role, Best Picture, Best Music, Best Writing, Adapted Screenplay. And if you don't remember what it's about, Judy Dench stars in the story of Philomena Lee, a mother to a boy conceived out of wedlock and given up for adoption. Now, nearly 50 years later, Philomena meets Martin Sixsmith, who's played by Steve Coogan, who's a former BBC reporter looking for his next big story. Together, they set out on a journey to locate her long-lost son. And as the pieces of her puzzle come together, the unlikely travel companions form a comic and heartwarming relationship. That one is out on April the 4th.
I love Judy Dench. I'm a Judy Dench.
Are you a Judy Dench fan?
I am. I truly am.
I am too. Oh, yes. She's great. She's pretty
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely. Pretty totally.
Amazing. Matter of fact, I was going to open with Judy Dench this morning. I had some Judy Dench to play. There's another film then. Here's a film now. She's going to talk about this film now. When and how did this get made and come out? And look who's in it. And then who told them this would be a good title? All right, you go ahead, Valley.
Okay, that was the lead to my story.
That's the lead to your story, yes.
Okay, here we have, drumroll please, on April 1st at midnight tonight, everyone. Whip your credit cards out, because The Bagman is now available.
The Bagman.
With 2-time Oscar winner Robert De Niro.
Wait, it's going straight to DVD. It's called The Bagman. All right, go ahead.
And Rebecca De Costa. And she's
John Cusack. That's
right. And
I used to have a... No, I don't want to say that. Go ahead.
And it's an intense, action-packed thriller, The Bagman, coming to Blu-ray, DVD, and digital high-def. And this is our little teaser about this. Jack, John Cusack, a low-rent thug, thinks he has hit the motherlode. When legendary crime boss Dragma, who is played by Robert De Niro, gives a simple assignment for him to pick up a package and deliver it. Don't open it. Don't ask questions.
Well, there it is.
But over the course of one long and increasingly violent night, waiting in a seedy motel,
I could tell you that.
This bag attracts the attention of a slew of shady characters.
I could tell you that too.
Including Femme Fatale Rivka, played by Rebecca De Costa, a sleazy motel manager, a one-eyed gangster, an undersized hitman, and a crooked cop.
There it is, Byron. Straight to DVD.
Straight to DVD, huh?
The Bagman. Now, I think it's actually coming out in like 2 theaters at the same time. It comes out on DVD. But how did this happen? Wasn't he just nominated for an Oscar for something last year?
Yeah.
Wasn't he Silver
Linings Playbook?
Wasn't he nominated for Oscar a year ago?
How did
he do the Bagman?
Well,
you know, it's one of those things you just wonder.
There's money involved.
That make you go.
Well, I don't know. I want to see it because I'm like, all right, there had to be a reason why he did it.
He might have liked the script. He might have been friends with someone.
Cusack's in search of a vehicle. So you know,
what's your favorite Cusack movie? You have one?
Yeah, probably. I really liked the one in the record store. I really liked that one.
Okay.
Did you see that one?
I believe so.
What about The Butler?
The Butler?
He played Nixon.
Oh, that's right.
He did a good job. But okay. You know what I liked him in? It's probably a movie that probably is not...
Oh, I know the movie. The one where he's...
Gross Point Blank.
With Angelica. Gross Point Blank. Yeah.
No, it's not that one.
That's a good one.
Raven. I liked his performance in Raven, although I didn't like the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I liked his performance. Byron. I didn't like the movie.
Byron.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. I'm serious. Because I wanted to see something a little different. And, you know, I thought he brought a real sensibility to it. You know? So, that was... But I didn't like the movie. Because I thought it was too choppy.
But... That's why we have brains. Yeah. We can love one thing about it, but not love everything.
I felt throughout the film, he seemed like he was acting. There wasn't a moment in there where I didn't feel like, oh, look, Cusack's acting. And that's what I felt in the film. Now, that could be the director, could be the shooting, you know, or it could be Cusack.
And maybe you're right.
I'm just saying that was my feeling about it.
But
it took me out
like
of the
you, though, I think maybe we saw the movie together.
Maybe.
And it was like...
See, we can see the same movie and have a different experience.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I loved The Raid. You were like, that's too violent.
Yeah, it was.
Lamar, all I got to tell you is don't see The Raid 2 then, because The Raid 2 is unbelievable. It's fantastic. It's one of the most violent movies I've ever seen in my life. But it's the choreography, the fighting, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. You will marvel. You will marvel. You've never
major
seen
butt kicking.
Have you seen The Raid?
Mm-mm.
I will show you The Raid. Goodness. It's just on another level.
It really is.
It's on another level. Okay.
I can't watch something like that right before I go to sleep, though. For sure.
Don't watch that. No, it's not. It's not a horror movie.
It's not. It's a well crafted.
I need to cleanse my gray matter before I drift off because I really dream sometimes about whatever it is I'm reading, watching, or listening to before I go to sleep.
Well, yeah. Then don't go. You're right. Don't watch The Raid. I mean, it's the beauty of it is in its design of its fight scenes because
the choreography. It's just fantastic. But let me tell you,
is this like a male ballet?
It's more than ballet. It's
choreographed fight scenes.
First of all,
to a dude.
Let me just tell you this: it's an Indonesian martial art that it's considered nothing there. It's like it's on TV.
But this director
is not Indonesian. He's Australian, mm-hmm. you know, and he, his name is Gareth Edwards, and he married an Indonesian woman, and he was working there, and so he had to learn the culture and the language and everything. He got into the art, and he was practicing it, and his delivery boy was a practitioner of this art as well. They became
the
friends.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a martial art?
And the delivery boy ended up being the star of The Raid, the main character, and who's mm-hmm. in The Raid 2 now. That's how they met, and he's like a huge star now. Hmm. But he's fantastic. He's fantastic. It's like, did you ever see Into the Dragon?
Mm-hmm.
Did it kind of get pumped up? Bruce mm-hmm. Lee was pretty amazing. You have the same feeling when you see this, right? Or at least I did. So, Raid 2, I have to say, Byron, you know.
And is it the same star, the delivery boy, is in both?
It picks up right... A few moments after what you saw in the raid.
The bloodiest end scene you've ever seen.
It's so good. It's so well done.
Trust me, with doing film reviews, we've seen some blood,
so
too.
So well done. Anyway, all I'll say is The Raid 2, you know, it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yes.
It might not be Byron's cup of tea. I won't drag you, Byron, but, you know, it's definitely like I dragged the boys to go see it.
We did. We had, and it was a nice night. We had a good time.
The boys liked it. The boys liked it.
We had a great time.
The boys liked it.
That's right.
The real men liked it.
We did.
Why didn't you like it, Byron?
Well,
what's wrong with you?
After I sobered up, I can give my review.
There it is.
But I do remember we had a great time
at
watching this movie. And yes. it was at a sit down bar movie place kind of.
You just remember the bar. There was no bar. You remember going to the bar before the movie, so it all blends to you. Wasn't there a bar?
Judge, rewind the tape.
There was a bar.
There was a pool.
This is the kind of world that we had made. There was a bar. Luigi's.
It was a Snickers bar. Mike gave it to you for your birthday.
You're tuned to listener sponsored radio.
Exactly. Thank you,
Val. WBAI 99.5.
I knew somebody.
We're going to compress time now for the next 45 minutes and make the next 45 minutes seem like 3 hours.
DGM, baby.
You know, one movie that's coming out that I remember and I haven't seen in a long time and I really want to watch it, just came out on Blu-ray, King of Comedy. Did you ever say that?
Yes, I like that movie.
Just came out a few days ago. I like that movie, too, and it was really ahead of its time.
Yes.
In terms of looking
good
at
stuff.
The obsession.
Very good.
Celebrity. Do you ever see this movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Very good. Interesting. And especially, you know, last year it was, I think, like the 25th anniversary or something. Mm-hmm. At the Tribeca Film Festival, they had, you know, De Niro and Jerry Lewis and Scorsese give a talk. And so on the Blu-ray, they have footage from that talk they gave at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Oh, good.
So
I think the movie is so much fun to watch, to see how...
You've seen it recently?
I've seen it recently.
I saw it when it came out.
Me too. Recently, I would say within the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen it on some channel or something. But it's
when was
one
the last
of my,
time you saw it?
My Valley. Favorite movie.
Not for a while.
Favorite movie.
Huh?
Not for a while. Yeah, Byron's seen it way more recent than either you or I.
Yeah, I definitely haven't seen it. But I'm curious, too. I would like to actually watch it. Mr. Saunders?
Yes, we do have a release, a Blu-ray 3D combo pack.
Yes. Did you see this movie?
The Hobbit.
Yes. Desolation.
Yes, I did.
Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah. Smaug. I asked Benedict Cumberbatch how to say it, and he said it's the Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
Yes. You know.
Did you like the first one?
Yes.
The Hobbit. No, not Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit.
I liked almost the first one.
Did you like this better or worse?
No, I didn't really care about either one of them.
Really? So you haven't liked the last two?
The last one was slow in developing, even though I know we were picking up
the
storyline.
The first Hobbit?
Smaug. Even though I knew we were picking up from the storyline previous to this particular version, it's just, I find the last two series too much exposition trying to get me to understand the story, and I'm already understanding the story. Just get me to the main issue of this particular film.
And did you like the Smaug footage?
The cinematography, the work,
the effects.
Effects are amazing. I'm just talking about the story and my preference of not making me go through so much time giving me backstory.
So much narrative, basically, to get some action.
Yes. And I was ready for it.
I'll tell you something interesting about the making of this, though, is I did an interview with Benedict Cumberbatch, who actually voiced Smaug, and he was just named top 5 sexiest men in the world. So I asked him, how did it feel to be named top 5 sexiest men, but then get booked for a voiceover, basically, nothing to do with your appearance.
Right.
And he said, actually, it was kind of cool, but it wasn't just a voiceover, because he did the mocap.
Yeah.
They wired him. They built a special platform with like a sheepskin rug so he wouldn't get slivers or anything. And then he did the movements of Smaug, and they recorded it and built everything around his body.
That's the part that I really enjoyed, because I love a good fantasy. Show me the world you're going to create so that I am so sewn into it. It seems seamless. I'm there. I'm part of it. I get it. I feel it. I mean, even if without the 3D glasses, I could actually be in the scene itself.
It was actually a shame that they couldn't use more footage from him, because they shot so much and he really changed. I got to see some of it. And they had like an amazing press release and junket in L.A.
They have
red
all
carpet.
This on the DVD.
On the DVD.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's what the story is.
Yeah, he's really cool.
We have the 3D combo pack.
Talk about the special
pack.
Features.
The special features.
I think it's on the next page there.
Yeah, well.
And does it tell you?
It's telling me about the synopsis, but I mean, the special features are these. It'll be available on limited collector's edition Blu-ray 3D combo pack. Now, you get the gates of the gates of Erebor replica bookends from the Noble Collection, and features the theatrical version of the film in 3D high def, high definition, and standard definition. Only 25,000 will be available. I'll read that again. Only 25,000 copies will be available in the United States. It means you have to go online to get this if you want this.
There it is, Byron.
Wow.
Yeah, but what does it tell you what the like the documentary behind features, the scenes stuff?
Yeah, it features the version of the film in 3D, Blu-ray. Let's see. No, it's not.
We'll just say it has cool stuff.
It has cool stuff. It does tell you, but you got to go read through a lot of the stats on this. This is a very detailed stat sheet. And I'm not seeing anything jump off the page at me other than the price. They keep shelling that down your throat.
Well, you have to tell me the
every
price.
Other line. I know, we're not going there. But it's available on April the 8th.
Here, look, the DVD owns got Peter Jackson invites you onto the set. In the company of The Hobbit, Peter Jackson wants you to start all the day's work. They got the production videos, how the production came to life, the inside look at the making of the film. That's where they show the whole
him
rolling on the floor. You got the music video. You got New Zealand. You travel with Peter Jackson around the locations where he filmed Middle Earth in New Zealand.
Well, see, that's an interesting story.
At the most fascinating part.
Yeah, because they mix what nature already has into a matrix, which really makes it very wonderful to watch.
Into a matrix, you say?
Yeah. I get the technical side of it. I love that part, but I go back to just the story took so long to engage me.
Too slow for you, Byron.
Yeah, I was ready to jump with it.
You wanted more, quicker, faster.
Totally.
I understand. So you don't even remember the first film.
I do like the original trilogy.
You like the original trilogy, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, absolutely! But even at the end, it became some of the same kind of drawing out story.
It became tedious too.
Yeah, just to try to catch up those who. And I understand you want to catch people up to the storyline, and so it kind
you
of
weren't
gave
just
you
thoroughly immersed.
The first two, yes.
Okay, but yeah. The third one, not so much.
But I enjoyed it. Once again, I'm into the fantasy.
What was your favorite Star Wars?
Oh, Star Wars. Oh, my gosh. The one where he says, I am your father, Luke.
That's Empire.
I love Empire. Yeah, Empire's fierce. It's Empire. Like, it's got everything. It's got every story.
It's like a
story.
Litmus test. I got to check on you, make sure you say Empire.
Absolutely. And as many times I've seen it with you...
It was a once a year thing.
Yes, so. But you know, when you think about the fantasy and the composition of some of the set designs for these movies, that's what's taken off technologically, mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that because they make virtual world almost real to you.
Well, you see, now I want to say this just to bring back what we were the theme of the show, the kind of world we
exactly
made.
It fits
the
in.
problem with the sale of Oculus. And do you know what happened with Oculus and what happened? Do you know the whole deal?
I don't know the entire
story. All right, well, I'll just, in brief, tell you. Oculus was a company that was crowdfunded. You know what crowdfunding is, basically people. And part of the whole experience of crowdfunding is that you're part of something. You're helping make something happen. You don't get any necessarily financial stake in the company, but you get some sort of a prize. You get some sort of inclusive thing. So... It made a lot of news. It raised $4.3 million.
And for people who don't have any idea what it is.
Oh, I'm going to tell them. $4.3 million, and they made it because, Byron, it's part of what is more powerful, in my opinion, and especially economically, than the movie industry, and that's video games. Oculus was a headset for VR, virtual reality, that like this immersive thing was going to work with games, but they needed money to develop it. They were close. They were not quite there. And so... they raised the money. Everybody's happy, you know. And then Oculus...
And do you know how much they raised?
They raised $4.3 million.
Yeah, it wasn't like $50,000.
No, that's the first part. And so they raised $4.3 million, and then Facebook bought it for $2 billion. And so
now... A wise business.
Now here's the thing, Byron. People are upset Not
just I saw that sales.
Not just because Facebook, I mean, not just because, you know, they helped, you know, finance some guy to sell himself, but because they don't trust Facebook. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows what Facebook's motives are. It's a necessary evil. You have it, you do what you do with it, you know, but there are a lot of things about it. The more you know about it, you're not so happy with the ads and the this and the that and what they track you and integrating with all these other programs and log in from Facebook. We'll use your Facebook. Get us in. You know, and so, you know, and people do not know where Facebook lies. And then, you know, what's his name just made another $3.3 billion.
I say use.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Here's my take on
what?
Facebook.
What's your take on Facebook?
Because I use Facebook.
All right, what's your take?
I have a very simple philosophy.
What is it?
It goes something like this. Use it until they shut it down.
Yes.
Because the stockholders, if I was a stockholder,
yes,
an investor in this stock and wanting and knowing how the game is played on the market,
yeah,
I would insist at some point we shut it down to a free system.
Now, what do you think about what they're doing in Turkey?
Well, I mean, because...
The banning of the Twitter.
Well, I understand all that because it's about this control of the microphone,
of course,
control of communications,
control of communications,
control of minds,
control of information, and
access to information,
yes,
or even
that's how you control
even worse than that, access to edited information.
Why this dress?
And that's the part that's the scary part because at that
you
point,
want
you know,
a beard
because man
you
just happens to
beard.
Be man, there will be some perversion
take,
of that.
Take concept. Some hair from the back of your head. You must have a beard. All right, so go ahead.
So definitely, you know, I questioned this the last time I was here. I was on assignment because I asked for it on the show, and you sent me back out on assignment. The question was, is there anything as such thing as known as ethics in business? Is there a business that is truly honest? I'm posing that question because because it fits in with the world that we have made.
Corporate ethics.
Is there such thing as an honest business?
See, here's the blurred line. The blurred line is corporate ethics.
Yes.
We all know corporate ethics are out the window. Like the corporate ethics, the concept of corporate ethics, it's whatever.
So we allow perversion to take
right,
place.
Now,
that's because it's good perversion.
Well, just because profit is king.
All right.
You're living in capitalist utopia. But wait, let me finish. I want to answer your question. So here's what I think about that, though. I think that now corporations are seeking to be recognized as like a living entity, have rights, and be like a person, and have the right to practice their religion like a person would, and, you know, have all kinds of tax breaks and all that. So
you know what I call them?
No, what?
AI, artificial intelligence.
Well,
okay, because basically that's what they're going on, projections of greed
and avarice. But it's happening.
It's happening right now.
I totally agree
with you on
that. So, my take is that, Byron?
Yes, Mike.
The world is changing.
The world has indeed changed.
The world is changing. That's my take. The world is
changing. Changed while we've been on the show.
It has. And here's what I think. I think it's interesting that we're in a time now we've never tapped into certain things.
Right.
You know, the virtual reality thing, the video game thing. You know, I was talking to Valley recently. She didn't realize, a movie like this movie, whatever, Frozen now,
yeah,
made $1 billion, okay? Most money-making animated film of all time. It came out in, like, November, okay?
Right.
That kind of money, okay, the last video game, the hottest video game.
COD, Call of Duty.
Call of Duty,
right.
Byron, it made
Activision.
That in 24 hours.
Right.
$1 billion
yeah,
is when it was released. So that's a very powerful now. So that means people, you know, people are addicted to video games. People have issues, lose their job, their wives, their family for video games.
Brains.
And we're going to make them more immersive. And Facebook controls
absolutely
the technology, Byron.
And
what?
If you
is
remember
happening?
The movie, Brainstorm.
Yes,
that's
of course
exactly
I do.
What they did. They actually. I love the part
well,
that the engineering crew had
Byron,
come up with. The,
here's the thing.
We came and did the Google thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like. That's exactly what it was.
If you have a video game that you can immerse yourself in, or like, what was that Bruce Willis movie? No, the one where he's walking around, he's at home, and he's got a robot of him that walks around.
Oh.
You know the movie. Did you see it?
Yeah.
You know the movie?
I know. I can't think of it either, but major escapism.
Yes. So yeah.
Good, Val.
Byron, we're going to immerse ourselves even more into a lack of reality.
World.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think?
You might be right because we are...
And Google Glass. The concept of Google Glass is that you have an enhanced reality. You are always connected to something other than the natural experience of walking down the street.
Is it like drunk goggles?
It makes
everything look better.
It makes everything 3D.
Exactly. It makes basically. Everything 3D. No, it makes everything like the Terminator. You're getting information about things as you're walking
around. And it is sharing at a rate that your iris, like a computer, can actually flip and take the picture and restore it. And it's stored.
Here's an interesting idea, then.
Just like that.
You know, there are brain games you can do to actually stimulate your brain activity.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if they'll prove that if you do that for like 15 minutes a day, it's really good for you intellectually. But if you do it X amount of hours too much, it's overload. That'll be interesting to see as time goes on.
Somebody's asking for a grant for that right now as we speak.
Sure.
That will be the next study.
It's an interesting idea, though. A little bit is good. Too much is like mind-numbing.
But it is about brain stimulation. That's why I asked the question, is there any such thing as an honest business? Because at some point, the application and the design of that kind of a concept comes out of an issue to control you.
See, but here's the thing.
And
Ryan,
I don't. And
Ryan,
that
here's
may be
the
a
thing.
Good thing.
You know, the notion of business is not corrupt. The notion of business, the notion of profit is not corrupt.
Yeah.
But it's like anything else. It's like, okay, you can create this thing and have all the intention in the world, but then when you get out there into the world and you want to compete in this ocean here, now what are you going to do? You know, if you're a farmer, okay, and you have to buy seeds from this place, and no matter what your profits are going to be, you're going to have to, because the seed dies out because it's been genetically engineered that you can't even use it next year.
Yes.
So what do you do?
If you're Monsanto?
No, what do you do? What do you do if you're that farmer?
The farmer is... Profit margin has always been marginalized by corporate
entities.
Exactly.
So now he may have ethics. Well, here's what I'm getting. He has ethics, but the field, the ocean he's in, does not.
Hold on. But see, they've perverted his ethics because they give him
pesticides
to help control his crop, his yield, his effect on
what he's
everything.
Got to survive.
Okay. Now, he gets subsidized by Congress not to grow good food.
Of course he does.
That's the perversion.
That's the kind of world we're
in. That's the perversion side of
it. That's the checkerboard we're on.
And just think, his ultimate ulterior goal is to feed the world. He's in the farming
because the farmer
has a code to live by.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. The ethics.
He loves to grow stuff to feed the world. That's a great thing to
have. It's a great premise.
Yes. But look how...
But this is what I just said to you, Byron. That's what I just said. The notion of business is not corrupt. That's a noble business to want to be in.
It's the logistics and the execution that get twisted.
It's the environment. It's the business environment.
I support winemakers of America. I want you to know that I'm looking for that Christmas gift of the next Bordeaux.
I understand.
Pay me, baby, because I'm going to like some of that wine you're making. No, but
I interest you in a fine vintage
B12
in lieu of a Bordeaux?
Exactly, B12. We'll throw an
ice cube.
That's
all we have in here right now, people.
No, but let's hope that we can maintain some kind of integrity for the good of mankind. Because
here's the question:
world
Byron,
that they're
Byron,
making
I,
right
I'll
now.
I'll tie in what
so
you're
good.
Saying. I'll tie in what you're saying because what kind of person that grew up. Okay, the generation, the put yourself out there constantly generation, the alter yourself to, your from your features to your mind,
the Oculus.
What I'm saying. So you've had to be something.
Yes.
To survive, Byron. And you have to put yourself out there constantly, and you're constantly needing the attention and constantly socializing, but more and more not connecting, if you understand what I'm saying.
I do understand.
Okay, when they run the world, what happens?
The problem when they run the world?
When they run the world, how will the world be run?
The only way that can happen is perspective that...
Well, they're going to... If the world is still here, they'll be running it.
Maybe.
I'm just saying it'll be a very different world.
Maybe
The ethics that are being learned here, the values that are enforced here, is creating a different type of
culture. If you believe that good overcomes evil, then there will be a applique to dismantle that form of world and global control.
I would hope so, but.
It will have to have been come up with because it exists. But it already exists. You see, there are really more good people than bad people. The good people have to stop allowing the bad people to be in control.
Let me ask you a question. Where's the good bad here?
Because it's about bullying. It's about being confrontational. It's about doing everything you can to one-up the game other than playing on an equal playing field, that you respect each other and that you can create a peaceful world without trying to bully the other one.
And that you care about good karma or a global...
And there are more of us than there are them.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
But we're being oppressed and suppressed by that
side. That's what I'm saying. Look at the values that we have tapped. Tapped into things that we didn't have the access to tap into.
But
we couldn't be this distracted all the time.
But see, envision this, though. What is happening with all the darkness that has been created, the light is shining very bright on a lot of areas, and that's why systems are breaking down faster than you can put band-aids on them, because they're realizing the world and the people who are good, who are tired of being oppressed and overcome by fiefdoms and political people who have fiefs in their
fiefdoms.
Yes, you know, old-fashioned word, because it engages land grab, like what's happening in Crimea with Russia and its control of its past dynasty.
And even though we've been talking some negatives about social networking, there's some huge positives of social networking, which is tearing down, uniting voices and causes that are important.
And that's why the prime minister wants to ban it.
And here's the question that we started off with. That's why Facebook is very popular, because right now the world is talking to each other in that manner, and the other parts that were uncontrollable.
I agree with you.
That's more and more censored.
But Byron, that's the interesting part. The interesting part is now we're used to being connected. We're used to making contact with strangers. We're used to having the accolades of people we hardly know.
Yes.
You know, we're used to collecting likes and friends and this sort of, it's un, you know, this surreal reality that we've created about who we are.
Yes. Okay.
I will say this, though. I have just on Facebook only made really deep friendships with people I've never met. I mean meaningful friendships with people in Corsica and China and different places.
That's the real essence of social networking. Yeah. Because then you really can know.
And so I say take advantage of it now while it's still available in this format.
So you think that there will be something more restrictive if Facebook goes down?
Well, I do.
What?
In my own personal life and what business I do, like yourself doing radio, and I say this, my effort, my show is the new Underground Railroad. I'm making stops in your neighborhood, all aboard to freedom and to freedom land. Now, do you want to break your oppression and change that you're bounded by? Come on, because I'm going to give you information. I'm going to give you history.
All right, are you doing a commercial for your show?
No.
What is your Facebook name?
Byron C. Saunders. Yes, and he knows it because I do the same on this show. But it is about peace. It's about harmony. It's about engaging mankind so that they can understand they are the good people are in the majority. Stop being wimps. Stand up to the bully. You can beat him every single time if you do believe that good will overcome evil. If not, get out of the way, because you're going to let evil overcome you.
All right, and your commercial worked on me. I'm going to friend you, Byron C. Saunders, and mine's going to be Valley Dawn Hart.
Valley Dawn Hart, so accept me.
I accept you right here. All right, Byron. Now, Byron C. Saunders.
Yes. It's my Facebook page.
Is that your Facebook page?
Facebook name.
Will I see you if I go there?
Oh, you can see me, and then I'll lead you to the places where I want you to go.
Byron will take you to the promised land. You like him, and you'll vote for him.
and you'll see Mike and I there.
All right, right. So we're all going. You know that.
I am.
Did you know that?
Are we all going?
We're all going.
To the promised land?
Yes.
Of course. Thank
come
you.
Come on.
Prophet
Byron. I'm going to make it ready. I'm going to make it good for the bad people to come over
here,
to our side.
212-209-2900. We've got 20 minutes left, but I'll try and make it seem like 40.
We're compressing right now. We're very much compressing time.
Shouldn't that be the opposite, Mike? It'll seem like 5.
No. We expand time.
All right.
We
time compendium.
Expand time.
I think you may have hit on something for the
what's that?
Change in Night Shift's world.
What is the change in Night Shift's world? What does that mean? What is that statement?
That
what
during
saying?
The show, because we have DGM.
Yes.
We have Life is Like Science Fiction.
Yes, yes.
And in keeping with that, we should end the show looking for Life is Like Science Fiction in this compressed time zone that we just created. Do
yes.
compress work.
Yes.
It's like headlines.
Yes.
It's like...
Byron.
Yeah.
Are you just catching up now? You're catching up, Byron. What? You just got caught in a time lag. I saw it just then.
I did.
I'm busting your chops, Byron.
That's okay.
The phone number here. It's the phone number here.
209-2900. But no. Seriously. For the change of the show, this segment that's called Compressed Time, Night Shift Compressed Time, that's a good idea.
You like the idea of compressed time.
Yeah, that's what
time.
I really want to
get as much in as possible.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's interesting how, you know, living in New York, you know, there's certain things you...
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
People.
Good morning. Who is this?
Hi, my name is Carlos. I'm a going to work motorman for New York City Transit, who also plays bass with a good friend of Jeannie Hoppins. So I'm listening to you guys Tuesday mornings. You guys get me going. So I just wanted to put something out there on Facebook that a friend of mine posted, and it was very interesting. I don't know if you guys went over it yet, because I just turned the radio on not too long ago, but they took the DNA of a particular dinosaur and implanted it in an ostrich embryo and cloned a little bit baby dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
Out in London, I believe. That's somewhere right. out in England, I believe.
Yeah, had you seen the movie Jurassic
Park? I heard that was a Snopes. I think you should
was
Snope
it?
That. You should Snope that.
But they actually had a picture of a little baby dinosaur.
Yeah, that's not a real story.
Well, I didn't get a chance to really dig into it to see if it was real or not.
It's not a real story.
Well, they did a sheep or lamb a few years ago. I said I wouldn't be surprised, you know.
See,
First of all, if they did it, they would not be in the news.
That story,
keep that under wraps.
The science fiction.
And I'm thinking the clones of Dr. Frankenstein, you know.
Yeah, please. So, are you enjoying the show, sir?
Always, man. Turn it on. I love the mad capness of it. I love the information.
The mad capness.
I love it.
Wow.
Carlos, you can come party with us.
The mad capness.
Anytime. Listen, I start early in the morning, so I need something to get me going, you know, dealing with all the nonsense of the railroad and whatnot. So, but anyway, I'm gonna hang up, let you guys go ahead and continue your enjoyment of life over there.
Thanks for calling in, Carlos.
Thank you,
Carlos. All right, ladies. So you guys have a great day.
Carlos. I'm going to write you a prescription for an increase in the dosage of Night Shift.
Hello, you're in
the air.
You're
doing quite well. You'll rehabilitate well.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
This is Ed. How are you?
How are you? Ed, are you enjoying the show?
Yeah, I am. Actually, it's very interesting. It's a good show tonight.
Okay.
I listen to you as often as I can.
Ah, that is a good thing.
Are you a critic of some sort?
I am.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who you were.
I'm Mike Sargent, and the man sitting next to me is Byron Saunders, and the woman to my right is Valley Dawn.
Okay, hello all.
Yo, hey. What's up, man?
I'm into politics. And science fiction is cool, but it's very political as well, you know?
Well, at its best, it is.
Well, it depends whose side you're on. Speaking of sides before, you know?
Well, I think good science fiction is always saying something about the human condition.
Well, it's predictive programming as well.
Oh, it can
the
be.
Culture creation is from the top down.
Yeah, but isn't that part of the function of art? You know,
I don't know. I would define myself as an artist. I haven't been productive for a while, but that's my sensibility, you know.
Yeah.
And I think art has been manipulated as much as everything else in society has been.
Of course.
For a while,
of course. I think it's a mutual relationship, though. I think art manipulates society and society manipulates art. I think they influence each other.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, in almost an equal way, you know.
Well, so, I don't know about equal. I would like to say that, but I don't think so. I think the bad guys are winning.
You think so?
Yeah, unfortunately. I hate to say it, but you can look at any aspect of society, look behind it and how it's put together and how it was created. You know, there's a whole history. You know, Byron mentioned history. This country and the world has a history that is really not given out to the public as such, you know. A lot of disinformation, you know, through society, school, or whatever you want to say. People are basically given the wrong information, you know. It comes down under mind control, in a sense, by giving the wrong information. People go in the wrong direction. People are manipulated easily.
Fascinating.
Well, it's the truth, you know, but... science fiction is all right. You know, science fiction has a history, you know, also. There's a lot to say. Basically, it's fascism. You know, you're talking about corporations. That's the essence. And at the core of this fascism is eugenics. So there go the good guys. GM food. You know, chemtrails, the whole bit, fluoride, you know, I can go on as a whole.
Of course.
Whole thing.
Well, listen, controlling what is in demand and creating a demand for what you control is the absolute, you know.
Marketing. Yeah, marketing. That's what
business is.
Well, yeah, but, you know, good intentions or bad intentions, you know.
Well, as Byron said, ethics.
Well, even the word, they keep changing the name of ethics. By the, you know, quote-unquote experts, you know, that keep coming into the picture. They, they changed the term ethics several times. You know, they keep changing the game board every once in a while. So people get, you know, clued in, you know what I mean?
Well, getting caught will make you do that. And if you're in charge of making the laws of when you get caught, what happens to you as a... punishment for of your misdeeds, then, you know, then we have a chance to maintain an equal society. But what happens is that corporate money has bought justice systems. They have perverted laws that help to protect us.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we have to take the money out of it.
Every level of our culture has a strong element of corruption.
Now, I was going to ask, you're an artist. The gentleman who's on the phone, you're an artist, yes?
Ed.
Yes.
Ed, as an artist, your grand desire is to do the things that are artistically in your talent to make a living, correct?
Yes, but, okay. You know, it's an expression.
All right, now let me just say this. Throughout the history of mankind, art has never been a phase that has ever depreciated. It is always appreciated. So my encouragement to you, Ed, is to create that art.
I can disagree.
Create it.
I can disagree with you on that.
Create your art. Now, you tell.
Show
me a piece of work. Show me a piece of art that has ever
many times.
Yeah, but you have to die first.
Byron, many times art is not
appreciated. Corporate America's portfolios. You can check this out.
Banned. Burned. You're killed for it.
Corporations.
Not always appreciated.
Hear this. I gotta tell you. Corporations and their financial portfolio, every last single one of them on the Fortune 500 and the New York Stock Exchange,
have in their
portfolio art as part of their
financial,
because it has value. It has value. And I'm telling this man, as an artist, if he wants to make a living, come on, create your art, Ed, because the numbers are in your favor to actually sustain yourself as an artist. Believe it or not.
The numbers are in your favor. Byron, will you put those post those numbers on your Facebook?
I sure would.
Please, I'd like you to post those numbers.
It's a very
simple.
But
do you know if you're an artist in Europe, for example? In France?
Numbers that say you're more likely to succeed as an artist? I wish that were true, Byron.
You have to sell your art. If he wants his art to be self-sustaining.
Let me just say this.
He has to sell his art.
Byron, I'm going to...
And there's a
I'm going to give an alternate philosophy.
For his art.
Can I give an alternate
philosophy?
That's all
philosophy? I got to say. There's a buyer for his art.
There's always a market for art.
That's right.
Sure.
Thank you.
That's
but,
true.
But you have to reach it. It's a whole thing of, you know...
It's a whole thing of creating the art first, because if you ain't got the art...
Sure.
So I'm saying, you know, Ed, I'm waiting for your next...
Well, it's art for art's sake in that respect, but then you have to go into reaching an audience and selling it, and, you know, the whole bit.
Byron, sometimes, and often, Byron, there are more artists who do their art for their art's sake than there are artists who are
I don't disagree with that.
Doing it.
I really don't.
Because culture does not always value art.
Right, it perverts art in a lot of ways.
So I disagree with you, sir.
You don't think so?
No, I disagree with Byron.
Oh, okay.
I like to disagree with Byron too.
Well, we've been sold a bill of goods, thinking that art
is a value thing because
in each of those portfolios, whenever they
go back, you're talking about money again.
Because I'm going to show you the value of art. Art is a very important aspect of a billionaire's portfolio.
Listen to me, Byron. Anything can become
an intellectual aspect to it.
It does, but anything can become a property, Byron, and become tradable. I mean, wine, Bordeaux now is
that's what stocks.
Yeah,
that's what the stock market is.
It's too expensive to even drink.
Commodities.
Everything can be commoditized.
I want our side to make money too, but I'm trying to put the ethics back into making money. See,
Byron,
I think you can do make money and be ethical.
Byron.
No, you're not. You're lost. You're lost.
You see, Byron has that notion. But you see, you have to see what field he's going to get into.
See, you don't believe you can make money. Stop being somebody's god.
No, you know what money came from? Money is part of religion. When they start a civilization, they give you a religion and money.
Yes.
That's how it begins. Money is part of religion.
Wow.
Now, okay. That's
they give you religion and money. Which culture are we speaking
right when you
of?
Pop out of the womb. You get your umbilical
the
cord cut.
Of the world, all right.
Get some money,
you know,
get a religion.
Take that in. Like, what? I want to know, where's my money?
Money's created.
I guess
money
I was in the bathroom when they gave out the money.
Well, right. Maybe so. I'm looking for it as well, but, you know, there's a reality to what's going
on. Are you a religious man?
No, not at all.
All right, so you didn't get the money or the religion. What are you talking about here?
But wait. What I want to know, Ed, is what kind of facial hair did you get? Do you have the clean shave, the mustache, the beard, the soul patch, or the Fu Manchu?
A long time I had a mustache and a spider. Now I have a goatee.
You're our first goatee tonight.
Yes, Mark,
represent.
Mark it down. We get.
All right.
Ed gets
all right.
a point. Ed, you get
We've
points
just had a lot of mustache colors
That's
tonight,
right.
but you're a first goatee. That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I don't do it for anyone else.
Are you suave
you
and sophisticated?
Because of Brad Pitt? Are you trying to be Brad?
Ed, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are you suave and sophisticated? With
say
your
yes. With say
your,
yes.
With
say
your
say
goatee?
Yes.
We lost Ed. Hello, you're on the air.
Fascinating and stimulating, I'm telling you. This is amazing conversation. It's just amazing. So if corporations get their personhood, they already have that.
Yes.
So they get to practice their religion now.
Yes.
Say that passes.
Exactly.
So then what are they going to sell us? I mean, it's just like, okay, so then where do we get our power from then? I'm rambling because it's kind of scary, but there's something in there that we can win with.
Yes,
as
we can.
The 99%ers.
That's right. We
like if we decide to all of a sudden make peace and love a commodity, like
that's
what we want. Yes. Sell us that.
That's
right. What we can
in that world,
do.
Byron would be king.
You, it is a
in
simple.
That world,
it's a very
Byron would be
simple
king.
Solution.
Okay, I gotta go, y'all. I'm at work.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening in.
I think she sounded like she went in the closet to yell at us. Hello, you're on the air.
Very sad. I was cut off.
No.
Yeah, you can cut off, sir.
Oh, Ed, we were just asking, is your goatee a kind of sexy suave look?
Suave and debonair.
You're supposed to say yes. It's working for you.
Is it like Sean Connery in his last few films?
No, I just trimmed it recently. It got long, and it got like
got
weird.
Long, like
I trimmed it short.
Like Gandalf long?
No, it's a well-trimmed goatee. Don't turn him into Gandalf.
Did you wear like a pointy hat?
I like neat and clean.
Carry a staff.
Neat and clean, man.
Like a hobbit?
He's suave, sexy, and distinguished. Ed, I'll say it. Don't listen to the hobbit stuff. Suave, sexy, and distinguished.
Ed.
No, I never... I don't know what the hump is. I never saw it.
I wouldn't.
It's like a long, curly. And besides, wizard beer with crumbs in it.
No, that's not a hobbit. A hobbit besides, is a perfect.
No, you said Gandalf. No, you said Gandalf.
Oh, Gandalf, but I said the hobbit too.
And besides, their feet are too big.
That's a whole other kind of hair. They could do a whole face with that hobbit hair from the feet.
You're tuned to this sponsored radio.
We don't want to go there.
99.5 FM.
Welcome back, John Cusack, right?
This is,
yes, we were.
Your favorite John Cusack movie?
John's sister.
Which?
Joan Cusack?
Yes.
Is that John?
No, John's sister.
Yes, it is. His sister. Yes,
okay.
Yes, it is.
The Ice Harvest.
Oh, the Ice
Harvest. The Ice Harvest. Yeah, that was pretty good.
And did you ever see Hot Tub Time Machine?
Hot Tub. I liked Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, I think that was very nice.
I liked it. Yeah, that's a good movie to see with the boys.
Yeah, very
good. Hey, what about me? What am I, chopped liver?
Well, no, I'm just
like
saying.
I always tell you, think of me as a dude with boobs.
Sally would like it.
I would like it.
It's very hard because, you know, I'd get confused.
Hello. Eat a grape here.
I just want to clarify some the studio again. I would never confuse you. Okay.
For a dude.
Excuse me. Let me go back. I opened this show with
you can
with
visit
my
us
Mac
on the
Daddy
web
line. I said,
as life is like science fiction. com, all one word, life is like science fiction.com. And you can like us on Facebook at NITESHIFT. And the name of the show?
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
It's my favorite show.
We're on Mondays at midnight till 3 a.m.
That is true. Mike. I had a Walmart story I read the other day. Guy got arrested for sucking some woman's toe in the shoe department.
Yeah, this kind of thing happens in Europe more.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And I
did they know each other?
No, he lured her to the shoe department
and then he
sucked on her toe. He got arrested. Republican. Yeah, man. It's a Walmart story.
Who knew Walmart was such a happening place?
I believe me, I didn't know their shoes were no good.
No, it was the no shoes that were the allure. It was nothing from Walmart.
Can we see the replay of that?
Judges, rewind that tape.
It'd be a different kind of story, though, if she had toe jam football.
That's a whole new blue light special.
Yeah, I was wondering if the health department had to come out.
That's taking a risk, you know.
Yeah.
These are unknown feet.
And you're sucking on some toes. Man, nasty. Do we have some Listerine to wipe that mouth out?
Nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty. Come on.
Hey, white man's fetish.
I know. I'm not taking anything away from the toe suckers of the world, okay? I'm sorry if I've...
What I want to know is, did that toe sucker have a mustache, a
goatee? It's one thing to be a toe sucker.
A soul patch or a clean shave.
It's one thing to be a soul toe sucker. It's another thing to be luring women into the shoe section.
I just like yes, the way Byron tells it.
Could you help me? My girlfriend's got a foot like yours. I just want to see. Yes.
Could you try this on,
take
please?
Off your shoe.
And you know, now the left, please.
I'm just saying, you know, like, what was his rap to get her in there?
I could see her now. She was desperately crying. She was desperately crying for help.
We gotta go.
Somebody help me.
It's been fun. Gosh, our time is up.
Yeah, anyway, good night.
All right, guys. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, very nice show today.
This is right, Belly Dawn Park saying thanks for calling and have a great night. And happy birthday to Byron.
Happy birthday to you. Thank you, guys. I've enjoyed this moment. Thank you so very much.
To you.
Very special.
Byron, happy birthday to you.
This is Night Shift.
Night Shift. It's my favorite show.
It's your birthday, baby.
I love you.